It is official. It was made official tonight on SmackDown. There was a contract signing with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar paid a visit to SmackDown, the WWE champion, to sit down with the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, to make it official for their match at WrestleMania 38. And I noticed it earlier on WWE.com that they had adjusted the preview for the show. And they stuck a very interesting word in the preview. It was no longer billed as a contract signing for a winner-take-all main event at WrestleMania. Oh, no. It was a contract signing for a winner-take-all unification match. The first time we've had them use the U word on television. Obviously, the decision must have come late because everything changed online in terms of the preview for the show. But it is official. There it is on your screen right now. They are billing it as the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. It's like during the pandemic, we had the greatest wrestling match ever between Randy Orton and Edge. The biggest WrestleMania match. Look at the Brandy Rhodes. Boy, that Brandy Rhodes super chat kind of timed perfectly there. She looked like she swallowed a lemon or something. But anyway, winner take all championship unification at WrestleMania 38. And you know what? I know there's going to be a lot of divided opinion about this. I'm already seeing it online. People not happy about this. Oh, it's going to cost people opportunities. What are they doing? They can't get rid of one of the titles. They need them. The way WWE books? No, they don't. And I'm all in favor of a unification. I'm all in favor of a unification. Understanding, of course, that it will probably only last a few months and eventually we'll have two titles again. I don't think anybody believes that they're going to have one title permanently and stick to it. So yes, I'm sure that at some point, maybe a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, we're going to be right back to having two titles again. But I have been an advocate for this. You guys have heard me talking about this on the streams and on the podcast now for weeks and weeks and weeks. The WrestleMania should be a unification match. It is a big stipulation. It does make the match seem bigger. But WWE, if you look at the way they booked the WWE Championship, I mean, now Brock has it. But before then, whether Big E had it, Lashley, whoever it was always booked to be less than. Roman Reigns is the top champion in this company. Has been ever since he beat Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt for that belt back in 2020. There can be no doubt about who the top dog in this company has been. It is Roman Reigns. And everybody else plays second fiddle. And I don't believe that the WWE Championship should be positioned as second fiddle. You say, well, it takes opportunities away from people. What opportunities exactly? I would love for people to tell me about these opportunities. The opportunity that Big E had to be WWE Champion. Hey, I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he had the chance to at least win the title. Tell me what they did with him after he won the championship, after he cashed in his money in the bank. Look at the reign that Big E had as the champion. You can find other examples of that as well. So you're going to tell me that by taking away one of those titles, you're taking away all of these valuable opportunities? It's not the way the WWE books their television. They're better off having one champion. Either one champion that floats between the shows or ending the brand split. I'm not sure they're ending the brand split. Let me just say that. Don't assume that because this is a unification match, that means, oh, the brand split is over. There's no indication of that. But even if it's Roman Reigns going from Raw to SmackDown, SmackDown to Raw, floating back and forth like a ghost and feuding with different people, I'm not saying that there isn't a way to make it work having two championships, but the way the WWE does it, it just doesn't work the way that I feel it should. The best thing to do for now is to unify the titles and have one champion. So I'm happy. Put me in the camp of people who are happy to see this. I didn't think they would do it. I really didn't. I didn't think they'd have the guts to do it. But we're getting a unification match at WrestleMania. Over on Rampage, we had another contract signing, this one for the AEW Women's Championship match at Revolution between Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Thunder Rosa. A shout out to Paul Hamilton. Portland pop star joining us here on the stream, dropping $100 super chat. What am I? I'm not even 10 minutes into this stream. You're spoiling me rotten. Paul, you're a beast. We had a contract signing on both shows. Rampage, it was the ladies. It was Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker in preparation for their championship match for the women's title at Revolution. We had a TNT title match between Sammy Guevara and Andrade, and we had more hype. Get on the hype train, everybody. Tony Khan is promoting another big announcement. What is it? It's Friday. It's about that time. It's about that time for another Tony Khan announcement. And we'll talk a little bit later about what that announcement might be. This is your WWE SmackDown and AEW Rampage review here for the final Friday in the month of February. You believe March is right around the corner when I come back with you next week. Here on the stream, it will be the month of March. In fact, their Revolution is only a little over a week away. So that's very exciting. I am the Solemn Monster. Channel memberships here are open. If you want to become a Sound Off superstar or a Sound Off legend, you may do so. You'll see the join button underneath this. I think it's positioned underneath the video. But you'll see the join button. Super chats are also open. You already see them streaming on in from Paul and Uffman and Pablo and Samoan Fan and all the guys and girls. I will be reading all of your messages a little bit later on here in the stream. And the qualifiers. We don't just have Face of the Revolution ladder match qualifiers on AEW television. We got qualifiers here on the Sound Up stream. Because a little bit later on, we're going to be doing Be the Booker. And we are getting ready. We're putting together a bracket. Slowly but surely, a few more weeks, we'll have enough matches to populate a bracket for the men and a bracket for the women. Our little version of March Madness here on the channel. I already booked Kofi Kingston one-on-one against Razor Ramon. So that's one of the matches in the bracket. And on the ladies' side, we have Eve Torres against Stephanie McMahon. So we are off to a rip-roaring start here. And so we'll book a couple of more matches a little bit later on in the stream. But we begin with news. With breaking news, in fact. Pat McAfee was on commentary. He was back on commentary. He missed the last 2 weeks. Last week's SmackDown was a taped show. He had been at the Super Bowl. And so Corey Graves had filled in for him, but it just so happened they were taping two shows in one night. So we got two straight weeks of Michael Cole and Corey Graves on commentary, but Pat McAfee was back. And Pat McAfee had a big announcement. They put the graphic up on the screen, and that announcement was that Pat McAfee is going to have a very special guest on his show. Now, you saw a lot of people raving about the Brock Lesnar interview that he did a couple of weeks ago, and I raved about it as well. It was about an hour long. They had Brock in studio with cowboy hat on and everything, and it was the best Brock Lesnar interview that I've ever seen. It was great. Pat clearly has a knack for making, you know, the wrestlers and the wrestling personalities that he brings on his show, making them feel comfortable, making them feel at ease. They usually just sort of lay back. They open up more than maybe they would in other settings. He's had Seth Rollins on. He's had Michael Cole in studio. Yeah, the Michael Cole interview was actually really good, too. That was the interview where Cole said that I think he has 65% hearing loss from all the years of, I guess, having a headset on and being in the buildings with all the loud noises and everything. So he's done some really good interviews, but none like this. Because on Thursday at noon Eastern, Pat McAfee is going to have Vince McMahon, the chairman of the board. Vince McMahon is going to be live in studio on Pat McAfee's show, talking to him. This will be the first interview of this sort live with Vince McMahon since, I believe, the sit-down that he had with Steve Austin on the WWE Network, and that was 8 years ago. Funny enough, that was the interview where Vince McMahon said that maybe Cesaro hasn't gotten over because maybe he's too Swiss. Maybe him being Swiss has to do with why he's not really over with our audience. That's the interview where that quote comes from. So Vince is going to be in studio on Pat McAfee's show, and I had been reading some reports online that Vince McMahon was thinking about getting back in the ring for WrestleMania. I've seen this over the last couple of days, and originally I didn't know where it came from. I didn't know, you know, who it was credited to or anything like that. And I believe it came from Brad Shepard. You make of that what you will. But I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, this can't possibly be true. I mean, I've heard some ridiculous things when it comes to WWE and matches that they have planned and whatnot. Shout out to Ted Evans for the 1992 Super Chat. Thank you, Ted. And now we get more information from John Pollock of Post Wrestling. I'm going to read this to you just verbatim because he just posted this about an hour ago, hot off the presses. So I'm going to read this to you right now. Again, this is from Post Wrestling. Another major name is expected to take part in WrestleMania 38, which will surprise some. Post Wrestling can confirm that Vince McMahon is expected to launch a program with Pat McAfee, which will include WrestleMania 38. Multiple sources informed us that McAfee was set for something on the show involving McMahon. When speaking with a source with knowledge of the situation, whether it will be billed as an official match on the card, we were told, quote, most likely. McMahon will be appearing on the Pat McAfee show this Thursday at noon Eastern. It will presumably begin the story. It was first reported by Brad Shepard that McMahon was considering an in-ring return at WrestleMania, but stated that it was not official when he reported it earlier this week. McMahon is 76 years old and last wrestled at WrestleMania 26 in March of 2010 against Bret Hart in Glendale, Arizona. Now, he did have that match on Raw. It was later. I think it maybe 2013. He had that match with CM Punk. Actually, I think that was the last match of any kind that Vince McMahon had officially. And they actually had a great moment in that match where they were whipping each other with kendo sticks. I can't remember a Vince McMahon match after that. And again, that's like 9 years ago. But the last time we saw Vince McMahon in the ring of WrestleMania was that horrible match that he had with Bret Hart at WrestleMania 26. And if you guys know anything about me, as big of a fan of Bret Hart as I am, where's Drew? Is Drew in the chat? I know he's a big Shawn Michaels guy. He would be shocked to hear me sit here and say that I actually bore witness to a horrible Bret Hart match, but that match was the fucking shits. But that was in 2010. That was over a decade ago. Vince McMahon is 76 years old. Vince McMahon is looking for attractions. He is desperate for attractions at WrestleMania this year. We're getting a winner-take-all unification match in the main event. We're getting Johnny Knoxville, very likely challenging for the Intercontinental Championship. We've got Logan Paul on the show. All of these different things. The possibility of Stone Cold Steve Austin returning to the ring, and I'm still skeptical about that. What his role will be, wrestler, referee, I could see either one. But we could be in a situation where we could be getting the in-ring returns on the same night of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. This just reeks of desperation. But that's the way WrestleMania 38 is shaping up at this point. Now, I cannot fathom Vince McMahon is going to have an actual match at WrestleMania. Pat McAfee, you know, again, he's not a wrestler, but he's had a couple of matches. You know, he had the match with Adam Cole in NXT, which was actually very good. And he was part of a War Games match. So it wouldn't be a traditional wrestling match in the traditional sense. But I hear this, and the first thing I think of is Austin Theory. You know, Vince McMahon has taken Austin Theory under his wing, and I can imagine a situation where they kick off some kind of program on McAfee's show this Thursday, and ultimately it builds to Austin Theory being sort of the surrogate for Vince in a match against Pat McAfee. And that could be a big spot for Austin Theory to be in. You know, I had been thinking before they started teasing a possible heel turn for Damian Priest, I don't know what they're doing with him now. I thought that WrestleMania would be the perfect spot to have Austin Theory challenge Damian Priest and win the United States Championship. Now, I'm not so sure that's the direction that they're going to be going in. Theory and Pat McAfee, I would take that over Vince McMahon in the ring for any kind of a match at 76 years old. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. And all of this, again, just reeks of desperation. They've got tickets to sell back-to-back nights in a very big building. And they've already sold about 50,000 tickets for both nights of WrestleMania, but they got to fill more. They can fit, you know, 70 or 80 in that building. So how do they get there? It's like they're scrambling to come up with as many big names and attractions as they can just shove onto the card. But I will say Vince McMahon potentially being back in the ring for him. I mean, here I was complaining about Bill Goldberg last week, 55 years old, challenging for the Universal Championship. I didn't know how good I had it. Where's Goldberg? Can we get Goldberg back? Let's get Bill Goldberg. I never thought I'd hear myself say those words. I just had my voodoo doll out less than a week ago, and I'm already begging for Goldberg to come back. Amazing. So we'll see where this goes. But that's breaking news for you. Unbelievable. But I am looking forward, though, to the interview. I'm looking forward to Pat McAfee interviewing Vince McMahon for an hour and hearing, Pat McAfee. I don't know how he's going to interview him for an hour. Hey, look, maybe Vince will be in rare form. Maybe he'll have his coffee. You know, he won't be so parched, and maybe he'll be laid back, he'll be chilled, and we'll see a different side of Vince McMahon that we're not used to seeing. But clearly, they're doing this not because Vince McMahon feels like now's a good time to open up, but they're going to be kicking off this program. So whether it's really, really good or it's kind of car crash good, I am looking forward to seeing that interview on Thursday. Now, to open SmackDown tonight... Yeah, Tuxedo says he hopes the video version of the Pat McAfee show is subtitled. It might have to be. I could just picture the subtitles coming on and just saying, like, in parenthesis, like, I give up. Trying to figure out what's coming out of Vince McMahon's mouth. But Michael Cole was in the ring at the beginning of SmackDown tonight to introduce Rowdy Ronda Rousey, another big attraction on the WrestleMania card. It is official, by the way. Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair are going to be on night one of WrestleMania. Now, I don't know that they have said main event. I don't know. When they made the announcement, I didn't see the words main event in that announcement, but I assume they're going to be main eventing night one. Cole said that it was 3 years since Ronda was in a WWE ring, and he wanted to know why now. Why did you choose now to return for WrestleMania? Ronda said that she broke her hand in the last WrestleMania match that she had, and then not long after that, she broke her other hand. I don't know how she did that. I don't know who she's punching, but apparently she was angry about something. She broke both of her hands. She also gave birth to her daughter. She said she eventually knew she wanted to come back, and the Royal Rumble was her way to punch her ticket to WrestleMania. And she talked about how her mother was the first American to win a world championship in judo while she was a single mom working on her PhD. She said that she wanted to set the same example for her daughter, and that's why she came back. Well, that's nice. So Michael Cole runs down all of her accomplishments, first woman to main event in the UFC, first female inductee into the UFC Hall of Fame, and one of the first women to headline a WrestleMania. Rousey said that she was focused on tapping Charlotte Flair out at WrestleMania. Charlotte comes out. Here comes Charlotte Flair. Here comes the peacock, right? She always looks like a peacock when she spreads her robe out. Here comes the peacock down to the ring. She said that she would put Rousey in the figure eight. Rousey would scream for mercy for the first time in her life and tap out. Flair said the silver lining for Ronda is that she gets to go home then after that and work on baby number two. Sonya Deville clipped Rousey's knee from behind, and Ronda did her mean mug face as she looked up at Sonya. And as she stood up, Charlotte yanked her foot out from under her, wrapped her leg a couple of times around the ring post. Her surgically repaired knee, Pat McAfee mentioned. 7 times, apparently, Ronda Rousey has had surgery on that one knee. She's got some catching up to do to catch up to Kevin Nash, but that's a lot of surgeries to have on one knee. And so Sonya picked up Ronda, and she got tossed to the mat, though. Sonya bailed before Ronda could do anything to her. You could tell that Ronda is taking Vince McMahon's advice to smile more. When she comes out to the ring, she's all smiles. She talked about that, actually, in an interview. Or maybe it was on her YouTube channel. Because Ronda has her own vlog or whatever on her channel. And she said, you know, that first promo on Raw after she won the Royal Rumble, she looked like she did not want to be there. She looked upset, completely disinterested, sounded like it, and said that Vince talked to her when she got to the back and basically said, look, you need to smile more. You need to engage more with the audience. And Ronda said, look, she's not very happy about the way the fans treated her the last time she was in the company and the things that they chanted at her, you know, as she left. She took it to heart. She took it personally. And she says Vince told her it's not about you. It's about them. You've got to play to them. So now Ronda comes out. She's all smiles. And so far, the crowd is taking to her. They're not, you know, turning against her or anything like that. We'll see how the crowd reacts at WrestleMania. I think her in the ring against Charlotte, she's pretty much safe. I would think Ronda is, from a complete fan backlash. I mean, the fans seem to like her enough so far. But, you know, next week, we found out in the segment that came after this, Adam Pearce told Sonya Deville that on SmackDown in Miami next Friday, she's going to have to step in the ring one-on-one against Ronda Rousey. So that match is official for next week's show. And, you know, it's smart for them to try to pop a number, put Ronda in a singles match on TV. Not something we get to see every week. We'll see how effective it is. The New Day, one-on-one against Los Lotharios. By the way, before I even get into this, just to stay on the subject of Ronda and Charlotte for a second, I get that it's a big match for them to do. And I do think back to their Survivor Series match, which was almost a full 4 years ago, and I thought it was an excellent match. Now, that was 2018. This is 2022. I have no idea if they can have that kind of match, or if it'll be better, if it'll be worse. I'm not sure. But I will say that they've got some work to do here, at least in terms of me, at least in terms of this fan. They've got some work to do. I get that on the marquee it looks good to have Charlotte Flair against Ronda Rousey. We all know they position Charlotte as the greatest of all time. And when all is said and done, she'll be a 25-time world champion. We know this. But so far, now it's been about a month, right? It's been almost a full month since Ronda came back and won the Royal Rumble. They had the tag match in Saudi Arabia, which really wasn't all that great. They got some work to do to get me interested in this match. There's another woman on this show who has been relegated to tag team duty. Strictly because Ronda Rousey decided a few months ago, now would be a good time to come back. And the person I'm talking about is Sasha Banks. And it's very clear to me that if Ronda did not come back, Sasha would be in this spot right now. Sasha Banks would be going to WrestleMania to challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship. But they decided to put Ronda Rousey in there instead. And right now, I'm pretty cold on this match. Not very excited about this match at all. So we'll see what they can do in these next few weeks to get me interested. I assume I'm probably not the only one who feels this way. There is time to do something, though, I think, to get people really excited about this. But right now, so far, main event, night one, not feeling it. We have the New Day against Los Lotharios, part three. Part three. They came into this one win apiece. Their first two matches were very good. And this one was good as well, but it was the weakest, I thought, of all three matches they've had on TV. Angel and Humberto, they do the Kiss Cam gimmick now. This is their new gimmick, at least so long as they still have television time. We'll see how long that lasts for. They come out, they put the Kiss Cam up, and they found a lovely lass in the front row. Right on the aisle, the corner seat, and they go over, and they give her a kiss on each cheek, and she's so happy, and she's so excited. And I got people sending me messages going, hey, is that Kayla? That's Kayla. Kayla Sparks. I said, Kayla Sparks? I've got her listed in my rundown for Rampage tonight against Serena Deeb. And sure enough, it was Kayla Sparks. Kayla Sparks, independent wrestler. You know, a very good independent wrestler. I've heard her name mentioned a time or two before. She pulled a Rick Rude here tonight. She was live on SmackDown getting kissed by Los Lotharios, and a couple of hours later, she's on the other channel on a show that was taped on Wednesday, wrestling Serena Deeb. So congratulations to Kayla Spark. She got to appear on WWE and AEW television in the same night on Fox and on TNT. That doesn't happen very often. So that was kind of cool. Kofi Kingston gifted Big E an ATV. I guess Big E is celebrating a birthday next week. And so he got him an ATV, and he drove the both of them down to the ring with it, parked it at ringside. Kofi landed a double foot stomp on Angel. Big E got the tag. He caught Humberto with a belly-to-belly suplex. set up for the big ending. Humberto escaped, hit a super kick. Kingston went for the SOS. Angel sent him to the floor, followed that up with a suicide dive. Big E, though, comes outside and ends up giving Humberto a giant belly-to-belly on the floor. Angel recovers. He rocks Kofi Kingston with a super kick. So they're going at it in the ring. And Angel is you know, setting up for something. All of a sudden, he looks outside, and outside the ring, Big E has commandeered the ATV. And Big E is, because he saw Angel on offense here, so I guess he felt he had to take matters into his own hands. And so Big E got in his ATV, and he did what any good babyface would do. He threatened to run over Humberto on the floor with his ATV. And in the ring, Angel saw this, and he's begging off and begging him not to do it. And that was enough of a distraction for Kofi to catch Angel off guard with a knee strike. Set up for the midnight hour, and the New Day pick up the win in the rubber match, and so that should close the door on this little mini program. We got a few good matches out of it, but I don't get the sense that Angel and Humberto are going to end up any better coming out of it. I mean, look, I hate to be pessimistic about this, but Jesus Christ, I mean, can you fucking blame me? You see the way these people book these shows? When somebody gets a little bit of a push and they're actually starting to get television time? And Los Lotharios are really good. They're a really good tag team. They gelled. They finally found something, you know, good for these two guys to do. And I have no faith that it's going to continue. I have no faith they're going to keep them in the hunt. They're going to keep them in the mix. So when the titles eventually end up on a babyface team, they can maybe challenge and maybe even win the tag team titles. I don't get that sense at all. This might be as good as it gets for them. But if this is as good as it gets for them, they had a nice series of matches here. Nobody can deny that these are, well, really all four of them, but Angel and Humberto are very talented. And I only hope that that they continue to get television time, but I think we all know how that goes. Sam Roberts was on SmackDown. Usually we only see Sam on the kickoff shows and some of the preview shows for the premium live events. But he was on SmackDown tonight. He was in the back interviewing Jimmy and Jey Uso, and they were talking about tonight's big contract signing for the biggest match in WrestleMania history. And they're talking about Roman Reigns, and they're talking about the Viking Raiders and how smelly they are. And all of a sudden, the Viking Raiders attack them from out of nowhere, and they're barking about how they want their tag team title match. Now, if you saw what they did at Elimination Chamber, apparently, they were running low on time. I guess with a local broadcast, they had to be off the air at a certain time. And because that's what it felt like to me. I watched that, and my first thought was they must have been running low on time. You know, even though, I mean, in theory, on Peacock, they should be able to go as long as they want. But it felt like they were in a time crunch, and that's exactly what it was. But I still say the best that they could come up with was to send them out there and have this lame-ass attack as justification for these two big guys. Well, they're unable to compete now. They would have been better off just not sending them out there at all. It just made them look so weak. I didn't care about that match coming into Elimination Chamber, and I damn sure don't care about it coming out. But we're going to get it. I don't know when. I don't know if they're going to save it for WrestleMania. I think they could probably just do it on TV in the next few weeks. Xia Li made her SmackDown in-ring debut tonight. Xia Li, the Protector from NXT, made her in-ring SmackDown debut against Natalya. Xia Li was drafted to SmackDown on October 4th. October 4th is when Xia Li was drafted to this show. Tonight, February 25th, was her first match on television. Because she's been having matches at some of the live events. Her first match on television. Ridiculous. Again, no injury. She's been wrestling, just not on TV. I don't even think she was in the Women's Royal Rumble. Ridiculous. They showed Drew Gulak in the back with Mansoor. As Mansoor. Mansoor is still in play. I'm shocked that they didn't send him to Saudi Arabia last weekend. You know he's fallen out of favor when he can't even make it onto the Saudi show. old man sore. Now he's standing around in the back watching other people's matches on TV in awkward positions. Television is facing this way, and Mansoor is standing next to it going, hmm. That's his role now on the show, to stand in awkward positions and watch other people wrestling on TV. I'm watching Mansoor watching TV. That's his role on the show now. He was in the back with Drew Gulak and Aaliyah and Shayna Baszler. They were watching the monitor, so excited to see Xia Li making her in-ring debut here on the show. Somebody clear that up for me. What was she in the Royal Rumble? Because I have no memory of Xia Li being in the Royal Rumble this year. Somebody says she was number 24. Is that true? I don't remember her being in there at all. Doesn't matter, though. October 4th is when she was drafted. Why is she first wrestling on TV on this show on February 25th? So the fans were so interested in Natty's abdominal stretch that she locked on Xia, that they started a chant of Hershey's Chocolate, because they were in Hershey, Pennsylvania tonight. So they started a Hershey's Chocolate chant. Thank you, everybody in the chat. I knew I wasn't crazy. Austin, you're out of your mind. You're on drugs. You need to lower the dose on your meds, my friend. Number 24. This shows how much attention. You paid about as much attention to it as I did. Number 24 in the Royal Rumble was no Xia Li. Now I'm curious who number 24 actually was. But they started a Hershey's Chocolate chant. I've been to Hershey, Pennsylvania before many years ago when I was younger. We visited the chocolate factory. I got to see how the Hershey's Kisses are made and the giant tubs and the machines that, mix the chocolate up. It was actually very interesting, and I got to eat a lot of chocolate back when I could eat all the milk chocolate. It was great. It was very delightful. So I guess maybe the fans in Hershey had a hankering for some chocolate. I don't know. But it just goes to show you how deeply invested they were here in this match. Now, bless Pat McAfee. I don't know if he did this on his own or if Vince was in his ear or what, but he tried to cover up for it by claiming the crowd was chanting, Xia's got it. It wasn't Hershey's chocolate. They're chanting, Xia's got it. No, they weren't. Nice try, but no, they weren't. Xia caught Natty with a stiff-looking spinning heel kick for the win. Match only went about 3 minutes. I thought Xia looked good out there. The finish look, she does that whole routine in the aisleway for her entrance. I thought the kick looked good, too. The finish of the match looked good. And hopefully she'll start to get more consistent ring time on this show. I could see Shayna Baszler. Given that she was watching in the back, I could see Shayna being set up as her next challenger. So apparently number 24 in the Royal Rumble was Nikki Bella. How could I forget that? I thought you were going to say Brie. That would have made sense, actually. To hear Brie's music, I would have blocked that out of my memory. Then it would make sense why I have no memory of this. We had Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was out next for a special Intercontinental Championship celebration after his big win over Shinsuke Nakamura on last week's show. They set the ring up with a red carpet. They had these blue and white balloons tied to the ring posts in the corner. And the Intercontinental title was on a little pedestal table in the ring. And Sami pointed out, he goes, well, the carpet and the balloon. I thought he was going to say the carpet and the drapes. The carpet and the balloon. The carpet and the balloons, they don't match, but that's okay, because justice has been served. Justice has been served, and the conspiracy against him has been overcome, and once again, Sami Zayn is Intercontinental Champion. He was so excited, and the fans booed. He noted that he's willing to take on any and all challengers, and all of a sudden, not long after he says that, we hear the Jackass theme music. And here comes Johnny Knoxville running down to the ring. We knew this feud wasn't over. I told you it wasn't over. That's why they had that little vignette a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, 2-3 weeks ago, where Knoxville was in a store somewhere and saw Sami Zayn's shirt, remember? And he put it through the wood chipper. So Johnny Knoxville comes to the ring. And I will say that the fans at Hershey, they love them some Johnny Knoxville. And it wasn't just piped in cheers either. You could see people clapping and all excited to see Johnny Knoxville coming out. Knoxville noted that Sammy crashed the Jackass movie premiere, and so he felt like he would just do the same. You know, he it was good for the goose, I guess. And so he wanted to come out and crash his championship celebration. And he noticed that Sammy was willing to take on all challengers, and so he challenged Sami Zayn to a match. And Sammy rejected the idea. Knoxville mocked him and said he's got no balls, which got chants of no balls. So we got a Hershey's chocolate chant on this show. We got a no balls chant on this show. Interesting crowd. Zayn pretended to leave the ring, but then he turned around. He jumped Knoxville and he put him in the corner, went into the opposite corner. He came in. He gave him two haluva kicks. He delivered two kicks back to back. And that first kick, that first haluva kick, unfortunately, they shot it. I mean, the camera was right there. There was no avoiding it. He delivers this kick. I mean, you could have driven a fucking truck through Sammy's boot and Johnny's face. That is the distance that existed between his foot and his face because he was trying to protect him. This is a man who went on Howard Stern as he was promoting his new movie last month and admitted that during the filming of the movie, there's a stunt involving a bull, and Knoxville got really fucked up by this bull and he suffered some brain damage and is still suffering lingering effects. How he was even cleared to be in the Royal Rumble, let alone now he's going to be cleared to be in a singles match, I'll never know. So I get it. You know, they want to protect him. That's what I'm thinking anyway. All right, that's whatever. It looked terrible, but they want to protect this guy. But then Sammy goes back into the corner. And I don't know if he realized, like, if this was the idea, or if he just realized, oof, I whiffed on this. Let me go back and do it over again. I have a feeling that may have been what happened here. Because Sammy went back in the corner. He came in for the second time, and man, if the first one missed badly, this one didn't miss. This one looked great. He caught him flush right in the fucking face with this boot. Down went Johnny Knoxville, and Sammy posed with his title, and he posed with his balloons to end the segment. So coming out of this, there was a backstage segment. Sami Zayn was in the back, and he was in the back with Adam Pearce. And he was very apologetic to Adam Pearce about what had just happened. He said, look, I lost myself. I'm sorry. But, you know, he gets under my skin. I can't help myself. You know, he does this to me. And all of a sudden, Ricochet walks up. And he tells Sammy, you know, I heard what you said. And he challenges him to a match for the Intercontinental Championship. And Sammy says, well, you can get to the back of the line. We got a whole line of people who want a challenge for this championship. Adam Pearce, though, he heard this and he says, no, you know what? I like that idea. He says, next week on SmackDown in Miami, it's going to be Sami Zayn defending the Intercontinental Championship against Ricochet. And Sammy wasn't very happy about this. The crowd enjoyed seeing Johnny Knoxville. Let's just establish that first and foremost, because I know that there are people who are going to be upset that it looks like they're setting up for an Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania with Sami Zayn defending against Johnny Knoxville. And it sounds completely ridiculous. Johnny Knoxville, for his part, was over. He was more over than 85%, maybe more, maybe 90% of the WWE roster. In terms of the reactions that they get when they come out to the ring, Knoxville was over than a vast majority of the people in WWE full time. That's pathetic. But he was beloved here in Hershey. Now, would he get that same reaction everywhere? I don't know. But tonight, the fans enjoyed seeing him. So I don't even mind him being around. He seems to be respectful of it. Supposedly, the people behind the scenes loved him and raved about him last time. And yeah, he was willing to do anything. And again, very respectful of the wrestlers and not obnoxious or anything like that. So yeah, that's cool. That's good to hear that he doesn't have a big head and he's not being a douche or anything like that. And so if they want to use him in some capacity, I think that's fine. But let's be honest here. The Intercontinental Championship, as revered as that title has been to a lot of fans who grew up on great Intercontinental Champions, I grew up on great intercontinental title holders. You know, Ricky Steamboat had the belt, and Randy Savage and Bret Hart and Kurt Hennig and Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon and all of these different people through the years, Jericho, Rock, that have been the intercontinental champion, Bulldog, Owen, the list goes on and on and on. And I want to believe that the Intercontinental title can still be positioned on this show as something of great value. But it's not. You know, periodically somebody will win it on TV and they'll, you know, value it more than maybe other people do. Or, yeah, you'll get somebody. Look, Miz. Go back. I think it was like 5 years ago, 2017, I think it was. It was around the time that Miz cut that promo on Talking Smack on Daniel Bryan. He was in the middle of this Intercontinental title run. And I think that's when he feuded with Dolph Ziggler and they had a really good series of matches together. That might have been the last time that the Intercontinental title truly felt like something special, is when the Miz had it in that run. And that was already 5 years ago. The Intercontinental Championship has not meant something in a very long time. Shinsuke Nakamura, they did nothing with him. He was hurt for part of that time, but not the whole time. That title has not meant anything in a very long time. And that's just the way it is. You don't have to like it, but that's just the way the WWE positions it on the show. It's not a priority to them. Brock Lesnar in the WWE title. Roman Reigns in the Universal title. Whatever title Charlotte Flair has. Like, that's the priority. The U.S. title, the Intercontinental title, they're more or less, I mean, they're not really all that far above the 24-7 title. And the 24-7 title has probably gotten more television time in the last 3 or 4 months than the Intercontinental title has. So that tells you everything you need to know right there. For Sami Zayn, it's a high-profile match at WrestleMania. It's not a bad spot for him to be in. It's not. If you're Sami Zayn, he's going to be in a fairly high-profile spot at WrestleMania. My issue is this. This does not have to be for the Intercontinental title. You could do Sami Zayn against Johnny Knoxville one-on-one as an attraction without it being a championship match. And having this guy who's not even a wrestler come in from the outside and challenge for a championship on the show. You know, in storyline, championships are supposed to be what everybody strives for in this company. You want to be a champion. You want to have gold around your waist. You want to have gold draped over your shoulder. So it should be treated in a special way on the shows. That's always been my beef with the way WWE tends to treat a lot of their titles. Yeah. It's a device on the show. It's a part of whatever, you know, storyline is going on your television show. It's not a real championship in the way the Stanley Cup, right, or the Lombardi Trophy is. It's different, but at least treat it in a way that makes it feel special. And if you're going to put the championship on the line in a match between Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn, you're not really doing any favors to that title. I almost think that they should have Ricochet win the belt on TV next week. Have Johnny Knoxville, who got kicked in the face tonight, show up next week in Miami and cost Sami Zayn the Intercontinental title. Even though I'm sure he would love the challenge for it, it would be even better if he could see the look on Sammy's face if he costs him the one thing that means more to him than life itself. That way, you do the match at WrestleMania, you don't have to worry about the ridiculousness of it being a title match. And you know what? I know he's not a priority for these people, but you give Ricochet a run with it. Let Ricochet have some matches on television and defend the Intercontinental Championship. And if you want to transition it over to another heel, you can eventually have Ricochet in a month or two drop it to fucking... Actually, you know what? Perfect idea. You have Ricochet win the title next week. Sami Zayn loses it because of interference by Johnny Knoxville. They go off and do their own thing, right? Now you're going into WrestleMania. Ricochet is the Intercontinental Champion. What did I say when Sheamus got drafted to SmackDown? What was the one thing I was hoping they would do with Sheamus on SmackDown? I wanted to see Sheamus win the title. You know why? Because it actually means something to him. Sheamus was on the bump months ago when he came back. He was out for a while, I think, with the broken nose. When he came back, and maybe, actually, this might have been an injury before the broken nose. He was out for a long time. When he came back, he talked about, I've won almost every title there is to win, except, you know, Universal. But He's done almost everything there is to do in this company. King of the Ring, Royal Rumble, WWE Champion, Tag Team Champion, U.S. Champion. The one thing on his bucket list of things to do was to win the IC title. Have Sheamus beat Ricochet at WrestleMania to win the Intercontinental title. There you go. There you go. And now you don't have to worry about this championship being defended in some bullshit celebrity match on the show. Now, are they going to do this? Probably not. I don't trust them to do the right thing here, but I think it would be the right thing to do with the title. So there you go. I put that out into the universe. Make of that what you will. Sasha Banks was back. She's been off television since the Royal Rumble when she was eliminated in 9 minutes by Zelina Vega. Out went Sailor Moon, and we haven't seen her since. Sasha was back, one-on-one against Shotzi Blackheart with Naomi sitting in on commentary, which at first I thought was strange. It became more clear why she was out there when this match was over. Shotzi did not even get an entrance. I mean, nobody on fucking Rampage got an entrance except Hook. Hook was one of the few who got an entrance on Rampage tonight. Rampage, though, is ridiculous. Rampage, they try to put too much stuff on Rampage, so they don't have time for entrances. So the show starts, and boom, everybody's in the ring. But in WWE, you can kind of tell a lot of the times, based on whether or not somebody gets an entrance, where they fall in the pecking order in this company. Clearly, Shotzi Blackheart is not very high up on the totem pole in WWE. No entrance, waiting in the ring, getting the jobber entrance. I feel bad for her. Shotzi, she's a weird case because in NXT, she was a babyface and the people really liked her. She was a babyface that people actually liked. She had personality to her. She was likable. So she goes to the main roster and what do? Right? She was going to be in a tag team with Tegan Nox. And so she had a period of however many months it was where sometimes she and Tegan would get to wrestle on the show and they would drive around in the tank and they were supposed to get the women's tag team title shot. I don't even remember if they ever got their women's tag team title match. I don't believe they did. I think they fired Tegan Nox before they got the shot. But in any event, they fired her partner. So now Shotzi's all by herself. And then they turn her heel. A woman who is genuinely likable, let's turn her heel. And ever since they turned her heel, she has died a death. She is completely miscast on this show. She is a babyface. And they have her masquerading around as a heel. And it's not working. And it's not working in part because they don't feature her on the show. And she's had a rough time. I mean, her father passed away recently. I think last year her stepfather passed away. I mean, she's had some tough luck in recent months. And I can't imagine that she's very happy about her position in the company right now. So whatever you may think of her in the ring, if you think she's good, if you think she's sloppy, that's almost not even the point. The point is they called her up, they put her on the show, and they have her in a role that does not fit her. It's not working. And now she's in a spot where she's just basically being fed to people. She was fed to Sasha Banks here on the show. Sasha won quickly with a Meteora, Codebreaker, and then put the bank statement on, and Shotzi tapped out. Naomi climbed into the ring with a microphone after the match was over, and she told the crowd that they were looking at the next women's tag team champions. What? Excuse me? Where did that come from? You talk about just pulling stuff out of your ass. I mean, I understand that they used to be part of Team Bad. So there's a history there between Sasha and Naomi. They were partners way back when, okay? Team Bad hasn't been a thing in about fucking 6 or 7 years. Maybe longer. Actually, I think it is long, like 7 or 8 years. Team Bad. Only thing bad here is the booking on this show. Out of nowhere, boom, just like that. You're looking at the next women's tag team champions. What? Where? How? When? What? Help me make this make sense. I honest to God, when she announced that, it took me a good 10 seconds. It took me 10 seconds to go back in my brain and even realize who the tag team champions are. I completely blanked on who the women's tag team champions were. It took me 10 seconds and I said, ah, Carmella and Zelina, because I had completely forgotten. And I know I'm not the only one either. So just like that, no setup, no nothing. Team Bad is back together, but it gets better. It gets better. They go backstage, and the backstage interviewer is Megan Morant. We've seen her on the show before. She's the latest blonde backstage interviewer that they have on the show. And she's got that blank look on her face with that smile. You saw that movie, the Jordan Peele movie. Get Out. I think it was Get Out. Really good movie. Really good. I like Jordan Peele stuff. Really good movie. That's what these WWE backstage announcers remind me. It's like they're a trapped soul. And they're trying to get out of their body and they're yelling for help, but nobody can hear them. You know, it's like you look in their eyes and there's no soul there. There's just nothing, just blank. There's nothing there. You remember that woman in the movie? She's got that smile on her face and the tears are coming. That's what the WWE backstage announcers remind me of. This poor woman. She stands there and she opens up the very next segment by going, she's going to interview Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss, right? But forget that for a second. Before she introduces them, because they have these transitions from one segment to the next. So let's say something just happened on TV. Let's say that, I don't know. Let's say Barbara Bush, you know, pinned Mae Young. Okay, let's say Barbara, I don't know how I came up with that. Barbara Bush pinned Mae Young. They'll go to the back and the female interviewer will go, big win for Barbara Bush here on SmackDown. But right now, let me introduce to you my guest at this time, right? We've seen this before. That's just the formula. That's how they transition from one segment to the next. Megan is standing there, coming out of the Naomi and the Sasha stuff. And she goes, I'm not really sure what Naomi meant by next women's tag team champions. But, and then she went on to the next thing. And I'm watching this and I'm going, it seemed pretty fucking obvious to me what she meant by next women's tag team champions. This is the dialogue that they script for these people. So it's bad enough that they have these blank expressions on their face. They treat their announcers like every single one of them have been lobotomized. They've had half of their brains cut out. Every single one of them, except Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee is immune to it. Pat McAfee is immune to it. But all the other ones look like a bunch of fucking lobotomized drones just standing in the back. Not sure what she meant by that. Gee, I fucking wonder what she means by that. I mean, what the hell? Who is scripting this? Who is scripting this stuff? Is it Vince? Is it Bruce? Who is it? Probably Bruce, that fucker. Whoever it is. Holy shit. Did this woman sound dumb? In this, and not even her fault. But boy, does she sound stupid coming out of that segment. Let me talk about the Sasha and Naomi stuff here. I would bet anything that the spot that Naomi got is the spot that was originally designated for Toni Storm. Because after Toni Storm took the pies to the face and then she wrestled Charlotte, and she lost to Charlotte on SmackDown, and she sat there and she was crying. She cried because she lost. You know, she lost the match. There were some house show matches around that time where Toni Storm was being paired off with Sasha Banks. There was a segment on SmackDown, a backstage segment where Sasha was kind of putting her over. Right? You're Toni Storm, former NXT UK Women's Champion, and blah, 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 right? And so I guarantee you, the idea for WrestleMania, because it was probably around then, they knew Ronda Rousey was going to be back. Apparently, they knew as far back as October or November that Ronda Rousey was going to be back for the Royal Rumble. So they already knew, okay, Ronda's coming back? Oh boy, right? We're going to put her in the ring with Charlotte Flair. And so that's probably when they figured out, we'll just have Sasha Banks wrestle for the tag team titles. It'll be Sasha and Toni Storm challenging whoever the champions are. And Toni Storm said, fuck this, peace out, I'm gone. And now Naomi is being slotted into that position. Guaranteed that was going to be the spot for Toni Storm. So that's number one. The other thing that is kind of baffling to me, and I posted about this on Twitter. You know, this story with Naomi and Sonya Deville has been going on now for months. Months. And I would have told you that this should have been over months ago. But it dragged on for so long, and we're so close to WrestleMania, that I thought, okay, the payoff is going to be a singles match for Naomi against Sonya Deville. And Naomi gets a big win with a stipulation. And because the way to do it was you built a WrestleMania and you get Sonya to agree to the stipulation that if Naomi beats her, Sonya is out of a position of authority. She is no longer an authority figure on SmackDown. She's strictly back to being talent. And Naomi, in front of however many thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, 50, 60,000 people, gets a big singles win at WrestleMania. And everybody celebrates because they like Naomi, or they celebrate because, thank God, the storyline is over, but everybody celebrates. That would have been the idea that made the most sense. And if they're going to be challenging for the women's tag team titles, then that idea goes out the window. Apparently, it's over. The storyline with Sonya is over. There was no interaction tonight between them. It's Sonya doing stuff with Ronda Rousey. She's going to wrestle Ronda next week. So the story with Sonya and Naomi is done. Now, I had a few people write into me on Twitter and point out something I already fucking knew. Thank you very much. That they had a match on SmackDown. Yes, I'm aware. I review the fucking show every week. I'm aware that they had a match on SmackDown last month and that Naomi got a win over Sonya. In spite of that, they continued the heat between them in the Royal Rumble and beyond the Royal Rumble. Sonya Deville cost Naomi the Royal Rumble. So their feud continued in spite of that win on television. So it only made sense, being this close to WrestleMania. You're already here. You've dragged this out for this long. Take it all the way to WrestleMania, give Naomi a big win, and get Sonya out of that position and just have her back as a talent. She's been doing the heel authority shtick now for long enough. This is your way out of it. It's such a simple story to tell. It's right there for the taking. And I said on Twitter, I compared it. It's like you're this close to Mania. It's like spiking the ball at the 1 yard line. What are you doing? You're almost there. It's within, you could see it. It's right there. It's within reach. Just take it. Just take it. You've got two nights. Pick one night and do the match. It's one of those feel good WrestleMania moments. And it puts a bow on this storyline at the biggest show of the year. I remember a time when WrestleMania used to be the show where you would tie up loose ends and you would tie up a storyline like this. But apparently not. They just thrust her into a random tag team and they're going to have her challenge for meaningless tag team titles. Those women's titles don't mean anything. I call them women's paperweights because that's what they fucking are. You're going to put her in a meaningless women's tag team title match instead of wrapping up this storyline the way it should be wrapped up. You know, again, they talk about how they tell stories in this company. And then you have just, it's a gimme. And they don't take it. And it's frustrating. So yeah, okay, Naomi will get a tag team title match at WrestleMania. Who gives a shit? Why is Sasha Banks relegated to this spot? Well, because there's nothing better for her to do, that's why. There isn't. If she's not wrestling Charlotte Flair, then what else is there for her to do? Put her back in the ring with Bayley? I don't even know if Bayley's going to be back in time for WrestleMania. I guess there isn't anything else to do, so you may as well. But what a waste. What a waste. Not to do that match at WrestleMania. What a waste. Now, I know this is going to come as a shock to many of you, but they announced another fucking match for this show between Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss. We got it at day one. Drew won. We got it in Saudi Arabia. Drew won. Now they announced tonight the rematch. Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss. I feel like I'm in this infinite loop. This never-ending infinite loop with this company. But they made a change. late in the day, they made a change, and they changed the preview from Madcap Moss to Happy Corbin. Huh. That's like being in the hospital in critical condition and being upgraded to critical but stable. So we're going to get Drew McIntyre instead against the undefeated Happy Corbin. Yes, Baron Corbin is now undefeated in WWE. He's undefeated ever since he got happy again, I guess. Baron Corbin is not undefeated. But this version of Baron Corbin is undefeated. And I was surprised because I said, well, what are they going to do for WrestleMania? If they're giving the match away tonight, not that I give a shit, but what are they doing for WrestleMania if they're going to give the match away tonight? Well, as it turned out, they did not give the match away tonight. Corbin got in the ring, and he told Moss, who's lucky to be walking right now and not paralyzed after that bump he took in the match in Saudi Arabia, to get up on the apron, and he's posing, and you know Moss is laughing and smiling, and Corbin says, you know what, you should take this match. And he was very hesitant, but he agreed. And so we did, in fact, end up getting another match between Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss here on the show. Moss was in control. He sent McIntyre into the barricade. Drew fought back. He rocked him with a clothesline, followed up with a belly-to-belly suplex. He was setting up for the Claymore kick. Corbin caused a distraction. He got up on the apron. Moss took advantage. He poked McIntyre in the eye, sent Drew into the ring post, and then hit a DDT for a near fall. He was very frustrated, didn't know what to do. And so Moss hits the ropes, and as he comes off the ropes, he eats a Claymore kick right to the mush. 1, 2, 3, Drew McIntyre picks up the win. And so it looks as if it will be Drew McIntyre against the undefeated Happy Corbin at WrestleMania this year. So they're going to have McIntyre's WrestleMania moment be him handing Baron Corbin his quote-unquote first loss. That's why all of a sudden they're really putting the emphasis on the undefeated Baron Corbin. So then Drew McIntyre can have a moment at WrestleMania when he hands him his first defeat. That's the story that they're telling anyway. It is what it is. What are you going to do? I have no interest in any of this. I have less than zero interest in any of this. So then it was time for the contract signing for the winner-take-all unification championship match at WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, the Bloodline was out first before the break. They come back, and Paul Heyman is in the ring. And Paul Heyman says that the match at Mania was going to be bigger than Hulk Hogan against Andre the Giant. And even the fans in Hershey knew that's bullshit, and they started booing. Smart fan. Now, the match itself will be better than the actual match that Hogan and Andre had, because Andre could barely fucking move in that match. But it's not just about work rate. Hogan, Andre, there's a reason why Hogan and Andre is on a pedestal when you think of epic matches in wrestling history. Hogan, Andre is right there at or near the very top. I mean, in this company, it's at the top. If you want to expand that out to wrestling all time, I don't know that it's at the top, but it's up there. And just the iconic moment of Hogan slamming Andre, and you got whatever it was, 70, 80, 90,000 people, believe whatever number you want, a lot of fucking people rising to their feet. Hogan drops the big leg. It's just one of those timeless moments. And the people knew that they were full of shit and they booed. But Heyman is a heel. He's trying to get heel heat. And so he said it's going to be bigger than Hogan against Andre. He said it's going to be bigger than Stone Cold Steve Austin against The Rock. And he said it's going to be bigger than when he ended the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania. And I laughed. That I laughed at. I loved how Heyman took credit himself for ending the streak. I got a chuckle at that. All of a sudden, as he is talking about all this, they awkwardly cut to another commercial. I thought they were done with the commercial, but then they just cut right to a car commercial. I'm like, okay, that was weird. They come back. Cowboy Brock made his way to the ring, and he gets inside, and Roman's already sitting at the table. We have a whole bunch of people in the ring, and Adam Pearce is moderating the whole thing. And Brock is in the ring, and he calls Roman Mr. Acknowledgement, and he looks at Paul Heyman, he calls him Mr. Dick, which, funny enough, I mean, could be taken as a compliment, I think, as much as it could be taken as an insult. I don't know, I feel like if somebody looked at me and said, hey, Mr. Dick, I'd be like, hey, thanks, you know. What stories did you hear? You know, you could take it as a compliment. A woman walks over to you, Mr. Dick. I mean, what are you going to, you're going to take that as an insult? I'm not. Anyway, but Paul Heyman, clearly Brock did not mean it as a compliment here. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have worked with Paul Heyman over the years who would agree with Brock Lesnar's assessment of him being Mr. Dick. So he said the only thing stopping him from coming across the table and kicking both of their asses is himself. It's Brock Lesnar. And the fact that he's going to wait until after he gets to WrestleMania to kick both their asses so that he can get paid for it. Brock Lesnar is nothing else if not a savvy businessman. Brock Lesnar knows the deal. He knows the score. So he signed the contract and he threw it at Roman Reigns. And this upset Paul Heyman very much. The disrespect that this man was showing the tribal chief was too much for him to bear. And Heyman said the match at WrestleMania would not be a unification match because Brock is not going to make it to WrestleMania as the WWE champion. Because he has to defend that title at Madison Square Garden next Saturday before he gets to WrestleMania. And he talked about this on Raw Monday night. For those who don't know, there's a live event at Madison Square Garden on March 5th. It's not being televised. It's not airing on Peacock or anything. At least nothing's been announced. But they are desperate to sell tickets to that event. They were embarrassed in December when they came to the Garden the day after Christmas. That's usually a big show for them. I've been to some of those post-Christmas shows at the Garden in the past. They're usually fun. And they had one of the worst crowds, if not the worst crowd, that they have ever had in the history of Madison Square Garden for a WWE event. Now, I know that was in the middle of the whole Omicron surge and everything, but it didn't affect any of the other sporting events in New York, so you can't just blame that. Their attendance was horrendous for that show. It was Vince McMahon took it as a personal embarrassment. You could tell because how often do you see them promoting a live event? It's not even airing on television, on their main television shows. And they have about, I think, in the range of 4,000 tickets out for the show, which is still not great. I'm sure they'll sell a few more after the show tonight, but we'll see what the final number ends up being. But it's not looking good. It's not looking good. I mean, this is their home, right? It's always been New York. It's their backyard. It's very embarrassing for them to be struggling to sell tickets to Madison Square Garden. Look, they were in Hershey tonight. They sold out. Tonight's show in Hershey was a legit sellout. They had over 8,000 people in the building. So, you know, it's not like they're not doing well in certain places, but to not do well at the Garden, to someone like Vince, as old school as he is, it was always about, as the Garden goes, so goes WWE. I think he's still in that mindset. It's got to be embarrassing for him. So they're trying very hard to move tickets for that show. But Bobby Lashley was going to be challenging Brock Lesnar on that show. Originally, it was going to be Lashley defending the WWE title against Brock. Brock won the title at Elimination Chamber. Lashley is hurt. We still don't know if he's going to have surgery. We don't know the severity of the shoulder injury. He suffered a shoulder injury at the Royal Rumble. They kept it hush-hush, promoted him for the Elimination Chamber anyway, which is bullshit. He's the champion. He's being promoted for the key match on the show. They knew he was hurt. They knew he couldn't work. And they didn't say a fucking word to anybody. I don't understand why more people aren't upset about this. But Lashley is trying and hoping to come back soon and maybe not even miss WrestleMania. We just don't know yet what the diagnosis is, if he's going to need surgery or not. But as of now, he's been pulled from the match. And they're really teasing that, you know, Paul Heyman's got somebody in mind that Brock is going to have to defend that title again. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be against? My guess is it ends up being a handicap match against the Usos. My other thought was, and maybe this is something they want to do. Now, look, don't beat me up here. I'm not saying it's going to be good. It's probably going to be the shits. But if the idea is that Paul Heyman is going to recruit somebody to try to take that title away from Lesnar, I could see it being Brock Lesnar one-on-one against Omos. Get the visual of Omos in the ring with Brock. He dwarfs Lesnar and get some offense in on him. He's kind of, you know, beating Brock around a little bit, but then you get that final visual of Brock getting the big guy up on his shoulders for the F5 and dumping him and getting the big win. So I could see them doing something like that as well. But we'll see. But that show's coming up next weekend. Interestingly, Roman Reigns was being advertised to defend the Universal title against Seth Rollins, and now he is no longer being advertised for a title match with Seth Rollins. Now it's just Roman will be defending the title. So who knows? Maybe they'll do a little dry run on that show. You never know. It's not televised, and who cares, right? Why not? They better just hope and pray that neither one of those guys gets hurt on that show. Bobby got hurt at the Royal Rumble. If Brock or Roman get hurt, or get COVID, or something happens before WrestleMania, before they can get to the match of Mania, they are fucked. They're building everything around this match. So any kind of illness or injury close to WrestleMania would just completely screw everything up. So they better hope and pray that nothing like that happens. Roman signed the contract, and he said that he's going to smash Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. He goes, this is my show, this is my ring, this cameraman over here, he's my cameraman. He goes outside the ring then, he goes over and points to Michael Cole and Pat McAfee and says, these two guys, I own them, they're me, they're mine, rather, they're me, they're mine. This entire show, everybody on the show, everything about the show, it's all mine. I am this show, I am SmackDown, I am the Walrus. So he's just going on and on and on, making it very clear that everything revolves around him. And really, it's not really untrue. I mean, everything has revolved around Roman Reigns now for the better part of a year and a half on this show. And he says that the security guys in the ring also belong to him. So it was a setup. At that point, all the security geeks in the ring turn and they face Brock, and you can figure out what happened next. I mean, he wasted all of them. He knocks them down and overturned the table. He used the table as a battering ram to knock a bunch of them down. He gave one guy an F5. He gave a released German suplex to another one, sent him flying. And they went off the air with Lesnar staring down the bloodline from afar. That's how the show ended. So they're doing the best to try to make this match feel like the biggest match in the world. I can't fault them for that. I mean, obviously, it's ridiculous to be comparing this match to all of the other like biggest matches in company history. I mean, that's a tall task that you're setting for these two. But, you know, when you're promoting something and you're promoting a main event for a big show like this, then you go into overdrive and you promote. And so they're building this thing up as the biggest thing in the entire world. You know, it is champion against champion, title for title, winner take all, unification. I mean, it is the biggest possible match that they could do in this company right now. And they're doing it on night two. That's going to be the Sunday main event at WrestleMania. That's the way that they've chosen to go about selling it. I like the unification stipulation. Again, I think it's the right way to go. Even if they end up undoing it later on, for the time being, you have one strong champion at the top of the card. And you let him go back and forth. If anything, I think it actually gives away the finish for WrestleMania. It's pretty clear to me that Roman Reigns is going to win. And Roman Reigns is going to have both belts. From what I'm hearing, they might have a new belt made up. I wouldn't get my hopes up because I can't imagine it looks all that different. They love having the logo on the belt. Anybody expecting something like what's over my shoulder right there? Either of those two beauties right there? Any kind of a globe or a bird or a crown or anything like that? Ain't going to happen. They love having their branding right there on that belt. You saw it at the Super Bowl. I forgot who it was had the WWE title over their shoulder. They custom make the belts. When the World Series is over, if we even get one this year, when the Super Bowl is over, when the Stanley Cup Finals are over, they've got belts ready to go to ship out to the winning team because they want them at the parade. They want them on camera. They want them in the background. What good does it do them if you got that fucking thing back there? People are going to look at that and go, oh, it's a nice belt, but it doesn't say WWE. So they put their big fucking logo on it so that everybody can see it. So even if they end up making a new belt, I can't imagine it looks radically different than the one they have now. But I think it's going to be Roman walking out with two belts at WrestleMania. So that's your SmackDown review. Now we switch on over to Rampage. AEW Rampage. Flipped on over to TNT. I don't think it was 5 seconds later, after I flipped over to TNT, that we had Paul Turner in the ring holding up both TNT title belts, and we had Sammy Guevara already in the ring, and we had Andrade El Idolo already in the ring. And the bell rang, and just like that, we're underway. So the thing about Rampage is they don't waste any time. They go right into it. You don't get these long, drawn-out entrances. In WWE, they go to the other extreme, where everyone's entrance is longer than the actual match in a lot of cases. In AEW, they just ring the bell. Let's go. Poof, they're already in the ring. You get entrances on Dynamite because you got 2 hours to play with. On Rampage, you got less than an hour. If you factor out the commercials, it's like 48 minutes or something. But see, the problem I have with Rampage, even though most weeks Rampage, I think, is a good show, they squeeze way too much stuff in. Everything just feels rushed. And there was no reason, you know, when you have a 1 hour show like this, if you want to have a contract signing and a quick squash and let's say two competitive matches, I think that's a good formula for the show. They had a ton of matches on the show, plus a contract signing, plus they had to run down the whole card for Revolution. So you had Excalibur speed reading everything again. Everything just feels so rushed and just cramped in on this show. But it truly is. I say it every week. It is the fastest hour of wrestling television every single week, you know? So no entrances, right into the match. You know what Rampage feels like to me, actually, now that I think about it? Rampage feels to me like watching a YouTube video at 1.5 speed. You increase the speed to 1.5. If you increase the speed of this video to 1.5, you'll hear me, you know, or if you increase it to 2, you'll hear, that's what it's going to sound like. But that's like watching Rampage every week. It's like a YouTube video on 1.5. I feel I'm looking for the setting on my TV to kind of slow it down, and there's just no way for me to do it. Sammy tried for a springboard into a cutter. Andrade shoved him off the top rope before he could hit the cutter part. And Sammy crashed and burned on the floor as they cut to the first picture-in-picture. Guevara dodged a charging knee strike in the corner, and Andrade was sent out to the floor. Sammy followed that with a tornillo. Back inside, Guevara went for a 450, but Andrade avoided it. He hit a slingshot DDT over the ropes. That drove Sammy headfirst out onto the ring apron. Andrade went up top. Sammy met him up there, took him down with a Spanish fly. Both guys were throwing right hands at each other. Andrade tried to take one of the top turnbuckle pads. The referee was trying to stop him. Now, Matt Hardy was out there, right? The whole Andrade Hardy family office. So, you know, they work together. They're like business partners. So Matt Hardy removes the turnbuckle pad from another corner. Sammy avoided Andrade's charge into the corner. He went for the go to hell. And Andrade cradled Sammy for a near fall. And there was an awkward spot here because Andrade had his feet. He got his feet on the ropes. He got his feet on the bottom rope. And Matt Hardy kind of reached up and touched his foot, but didn't really do anything. He didn't move it or anything like that. But on commentary, the announcers were debating whether or not Hardy was trying to help Andrade keep his feet on the ropes or if he was actually knocking them off the ropes. So I don't know if Matt was supposed to do something more than what he did. It didn't look right to me. So that was kind of a weird spot. Guevara climbed up top. Andrade caught him, went for his hammerlock DDT. Guevara slipped out, kicked Andrade's leg out from under him. He kicked his leg out of his leg. And Andrade fell face first onto the exposed turnbuckle. Guevara hit a double jump cutter off the top, and he scored the pin to retain the TNT title. It was a good match. I can't say it was anything more than that. It was actually kind of disappointing, to be honest with you. I know these two could go in there and just fucking kill it. This is not a match that anybody is going to remember a couple of weeks from now. Not like, you know, Sammy in the ladder match with Cody. And Sammy's had some other matches as well, you know, that I thought were very good. But this one was good. It was good. For the time that they were in there for, it was good. Hardy tried to attack him after the bell. Goes after Sammy until Sting and Darby Allin come out. And here comes Darby. Darby just comes out like a rocket. Call him Little Rocket Man. Isn't that what Trump used to call Kim Jong-un, right? Didn't he call him Little Rocket Man? That's my name for Darby. I call him Little Rocket Man. He looks like a fucking rocket, the way he launches himself. So, Little Rocket Man takes everybody out outside the ring. Isaiah Cassidy was out there as well, part of the Hardy family office, and he ends up eating a coffin drop from Darby. The announcer said that it felt like Sting and Darby had just given the HFO their answer to the challenge that they issued on Monday, or on Wednesday. I got my wrong wrestling show. On Wednesday, they challenged these guys to a tornado tag team match at Revolution. And so it appears that that is now official. It's going to be Sting, it's going to be Darby Allin, and it's going to be Sammy Guevara against Matt Hardy, Andrade, and Isaiah Cassidy in a tornado trios match at the pay-per-view. And I guess they're doing it, I would guess, because they want to get Sting on the show. They want to get Sting in a match on the show, and so, you know, whatever. I would much rather this be it. I'm disappointed that they're not doing the triple threat match. It seemed like that was the direction that things were going in. And I thought we would end up with Sammy and Darby and Andrade in a three-way match for the championship. Now, I don't know if it's just because they wanted to get Sting in there. I don't know if they're going to shoot some kind of an angle on that show with Matt Hardy that's going to begin a split. Because, you know, the end of the Hardy Family Office stuff is coming very soon. Once Jeff Hardy is ready to come in, I think that'll be the catalyst for him coming in. There'll be some kind of a split in this group. I think Matt is going to be kicked out of his own group. Jeff's going to come in. We're going to get the Hardy Boys reunion. So maybe they're going to shoot some kind of an angle by doing this match on the show. Or maybe they just don't want to do more than one three-way match because the tag team championship is going to be on the line in a three-way. So maybe they don't want two title matches defended in two different three-way matches. I don't know. But that's disappointing, though. To not have the title defended at the pay-per-view in that match is disappointing. So they come back from the break, and my favorite, QT Marshall, comes walking out. He's got a mic in his hand. Oh, joy. And QT walks out. He's talking about disrespect. And he points at Taz, who's sitting in on commentary, and he kind of walks over to where the announcers are sitting. And he said, all the disrespect comes from Taz. He says that he was the one who... Actually, this was the... I will give QT credit here for this line, because he made a comment. He was talking about Hook. He's very upset about Hook, and Hook's been embarrassing him and his students in recent weeks. And he had a line in here. He says to Taz, I made him, not you. I said, are you sure about that? I don't know. Something about that line I actually thought was kind of humorous. So he's talking about Hook and putting him down. And he threatened to stretch Hook right in front of his daddy. So Hook comes out in his hoodie. Here comes Hook. And Marshall sent a bunch of his students up the ramp at Hook, and Hook was taking him over with judo throws, and you know, he put the red rum on one of them, and the last guy that QT was trying to send to Hook, this guy's looking at what's going on here, and he goes, I'm out of here. And he thinks better of it, and he heads the other way. And when Hook is done, he takes his leave and walks to the back. Simple. Hook is a simple man. He doesn't overstay his welcome. That's one of the things I like about this kid. He doesn't overstay his welcome. So that was the entire segment. Dan Lambert was in the back with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And he said that Tony Khan, man, said that Scorpio would have to qualify for the Face of the Revolution ladder match to get into that match at the pay-per-view. And Scorpio was appalled by this. He pointed out that he already won that match once before. Why should I have to qualify when I've already won? I've already gotten into that match and won the thing before. And Lambert said that he did mention that to Tony. Said he didn't know when, but he would make sure that Sky gets his TNT title match before the person who wins the ladder match does at Revolution. Because whoever wins that match is going to basically, I don't know if they'll be the number one contender automatically, but they'll have a TNT championship match in their back pocket. And so Lambert has assured Scorpio Sky that he'll get his match before that person does. Speaking of the Face of the Revolution ladder match, one man who's already qualified is Wardlow. So we had Wardlow on this show one-on-one against Caveman Camarado. Already in the ring, both men were. This did not even go 20 seconds before they cut to another picture-in-picture. We get some picture-in-picture stuff on WWE television as well. something about AEW television. I feel like, I mean, there's so many picture-in-picture breaks. It's just, it's ridiculous. It just feels like there's so many of them. And I don't know. It's just, it's weird. I'm sure the number of commercials is probably the same for the most part among both shows, but there's just something about these AEW shows, you know. They'll start something, and then 90 seconds later, it's picture-in-picture, and they'll come back, and then it's like right back to picture-in-picture over and over and over and over. Maybe I just notice it more because it's a one-hour show, you know, and it just feels like there's so many of them. The problem is most of this match happened during the break in the little box. The majority of this match happened during the picture-in-picture break. Camarado had Wardlow up for a one-handed press slam. Wardlow escaped, and he chokeslammed him. And he delivered four power bombs in the power bomb symphony, and Wardlow picks up the win. And Camarado made him work for it. After the match, Aaron Solo is out there, and he almost got the power bomb symphony. But Sean Spears, the chairman of the board, Sean Spears is out there, and he hit Solo in the back with the chair while Wardlow had him up in a power bomb position. And he cut that off, and Wardlow was not happy about it. He had a look on his face like he wanted to break this guy in half. And Spears took the microphone. He explained to Wardlow that the Powerbomb Symphony, it just wasn't over with the audience. And then he took the time to explain that that meant it's not popular. So he has to explain this wrestling terminology here to this dumb jock who apparently in his mind doesn't know any better. He goes, it's not over. So you're going to stop doing it. There will be no more Powerbomb Symphony. Of course, everybody booed. Then he hugged him. So I actually thought that was kind of funny. But Caveman Camarado, man, he's a beast. He's a big dude, and he got more offense in here against Wardlow than most people do in these matches against him. So it's unfortunate for him. Most of it came during the commercial. We had the professor, Serena Deeb, out for another five-minute challenge against Kayla Sparks, SmackDown star. Kayla Sparks. On her second show for the evening, all Kayla had to do was last 5 minutes against Serena, and she couldn't do it. Serena Deeb attacked Sparks before the bell rang and had her robe on. She choked Sparks with the robe before giving it to the ref. And Deeb placed Sparks on the top rope. She was bending her body over the top rope and stretching this poor woman. And Deeb drove the... Deeb drove Sparks' knee into the mat before locking on the Serenity Lock, and she got the quick win. So, you know, we know what these challenges are all about. They're inviting talent, lesser-named talent, independent talent, to come in and try to outlast Serena Deeb, or at least get to 5 minutes in the ring with her. And I assume at some point there's going to be somebody new that we haven't seen before who they can put in that spot, and they can get this, whoever this woman is, they can get her over by just having her last 5 minutes with Serena Deeb. I mean, they could use this as a way to get over a new face in the company. Hey, maybe we get Ember Moon. Maybe Athena is going to debut in AEW, and she'll be the one to have the last 5 minutes against Serena Deeb. Maybe. Maybe. Never know. Tony Schiavone was in the ring with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa for the contract signing for the women's championship match of Revolution. Rosa told Britt, let's give the people what they want, and she called her a cheating-ass para, which is a dog. I know enough to know that. She basically called her a bitch. Baker said the only time Rosa is relevant is when her name is attached to hers. And she brought up their Lights Out match last year on Dynamite, which Rosa won. But she pointed out that even though you won, I was the one who got over as the big star. I'm the one with the championship. I'm the one with the action figures, right? I'm the one who's on all the posters and doing all this stuff. And she told Rosa, you will never be me. You will never be the star that I am or the pillar that I am. I was building AEW from the ground up while you were wrestling on YouTube. You will never be the face of all of the wrestling. She said, jealousy is just hatred built on insecurities. You don't hate me. You love me. She said, you love everything that I have. It's yourself that you hate because you will never be Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Britt signed the contract. Rosa jumped over the table. She cleared the table, cross-bodied this woman out of her chair, and took her down and Jamie Hayter attacked Thunder Rosa. Mercedes Martinez came out. She beat up Rebel in the aisle and left her laying. Got in the ring and grabbed Hayter and put her through the table while Rosa posed with the championship. This was good. Now, as contract signings go, it broke down, as most of them do. We saw the same thing on SmackDown tonight, right? That contract signing broke down as well. But I thought this was good. I'm hyped to see them fight. I've been calling for this match for so long. It's been long enough since we've seen them in the ring one-on-one. But, I don't know, man. I don't know. It still doesn't feel like the time yet to change that title. I know Britt Baker's had that belt for a long time. And I've been waiting for this match, and I'm glad they're doing it. But, I even said I wasn't sure originally if they were going to wait until Double or Nothing or if they were going to just do it at Revolution. So they're doing it at Revolution, and it still doesn't feel like the right time just yet. I still feel like they can milk this to Vegas, and they can do the title change in the rematch, maybe with a stipulation at Double or Nothing. They did a lights out match last year. They beat the hell out of each other. Both women bled. I'm not saying you have to do a garbage match, but this to me feels like something that you can build to a second match with a stip, and you do the title change in Las Vegas. That's kind of how I'm feeling right now. I won't be upset if they put the belt on Thunder Rosa next weekend. I think she's more than ready to be in that spot, but if it were me, it doesn't feel like the right time yet for it. I still think you can get some more juice out of it. The main event was Orange Cassidy against Anthony Bowens of the Acclaimed in a Face of the Revolution ladder match qualifier. There was a rap that Max Caster did on his way to the ring. They edited out part of his rap. And the reason I know this is because Jesus, shout out to Jesus, he was at the show tonight. He dropped me an email with a video, and he said that they might be cutting out part of his rap, and he sent me the video clip, and I'm not going to play it here, but he had a line in there about Vladimir Putin, and the line that was in the rap was, "Fighting the Acclaimed, you gotta be stupid. This guy's as popular as Vladimir Putin." Not a big deal. I mean, it's not, that line in and of itself is not offensive. But given the situation and everything that's going on, literally as we speak, it was smart to cut that out. That's a headache that AEW does not need right now. So they did have a jump cut. They went to the rest of the rap, but there was part of it that was cut out. Orange Cassidy took the mic to do a rap of his own, which consisted of him saying, "Yo," a few times. And then it ended with, "Word to your mother." That's exactly how he said it. He said it in the whitest way possible. "Word to your mother" is how Orange Cassidy ended his rap. I tell you what, everybody compares me to Orange Cassidy or Orange Cassidy to me. My rap skills are far better than his, if I do say so myself. I'm not going to do that here on the show. I will spare you that, but I think I'm better at that than he is. But coming out of the final picture-in-picture, Caster was born in the wrong time. Yeah, if someone like Caster had come along 25 years ago, oh my God, the material that he would have had, stuff he would have gotten away with. Are you kidding me? He would have gotten away with a lot more. I'll tell you that much. Anyway, they come out of the final picture-in-picture. And Cassidy got a near fall after a Michinoku driver hit a twisting dive out onto both members of the Acclaimed. Back inside, Cassidy hit a diving DDT and followed that with a twisting DDT and again only got a near fall. Caster threw a boombox into the ring for the distraction. Bowens then rolled up Cassidy for two. Cassidy rolled to the floor. Caster was threatening to do something to him. The referee in the ring, his attention was diverted by Anthony Bowens. Suddenly, Danhausen appeared. Danhausen showed up. He was in disguise. He was wearing a face mask, and then he pulled it down. I mean, you see the fucking paint on his face. You knew who it was. And he did the Danhausen curse. Ooh. Ooh. The Danhausen curse? They put the curse on Max Caster. And Caster took a swing at him. Danhausen ducked. And when Caster turned around, he got wiped out with the orange punch. Back inside, Cassidy wiped out Bowens with the orange punch. And he got the win. So I thought it was a decent little main event. And now Orange Cassidy is joining Keith Lee, Powerhouse Hobbs, Wardlow, and Ricky Starks in the ladder match at Revolution. So that is your Rampage recap. A very, very fast hour of wrestling. Almost too fast. But that was Rampage. Now, before I get to the polls and your super chats and be the booker, we got a lot. It's a very eventful streams that we have here on this channel. We got a lot. You know, we're not like Rampage, though. We're not done in an hour. We're already 90 minutes in, and we're not even close to being done yet. So we take our time with these streams. But Tony Khan is going to have a huge announcement on Dynamite next week, or at least he hopes he does. He doesn't know for sure, but he is promoting. They are promoting, as they did on the show tonight, that Tony Khan is going to have a major announcement for all of us on Dynamite next week. He was back on Busted Open Radio this morning, and I want to read to you really quickly here what Tony Khan had to say. I'm going to tell everyone right now, you definitely will not want to miss Wednesday night on Dynamite next week. I've been talking a lot about a big announcement in the world of pro wrestling. Not only is there going to be a whole lot of great wrestling on the show, I promise you guys right now, I have a huge announcement. I have a huge announcement coming, and nobody knows what it is. It's going to be something very important in the wrestling business. It's not just one particular piece of talent. It's something very special, and I'm really excited about it. I believe it is something that we are going to be in a position to announce on Wednesday, and so I am pretty excited about that. Now, earlier in the week, he had said that he couldn't tell us what it was. And he said that the lawyers were still going over everything. So he couldn't comment on it. So there's lawyers involved. They're doing their due diligence, whatever kind of deal. This is some kind of a business deal. This is not, hey, we just signed somebody, one new piece of talent here. He flat out said that's not what this is. And I've seen a lot of people guessing that it could have something to do possibly with buying Ring of Honor. Buying Ring of Honor and buying the tape library from Ring of Honor because, you know, look, the tape library could be of value to them. They have a lot of people under contract in that company right now, including some of their biggest names, who cut their teeth in Ring of Honor and made their names in that promotion. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Jay Lethal, Adam Cole, The Young Bucks, and others as well. Right, Punk and Danielson probably being the most prolific out of all of them. I don't see what buying the promotion though would really do for AEW. That I'm having difficulty really seeing what that would do for them. I think there's a better chance of it being something along the lines of hosting some kind of big interpromotional event and partnering with a promotion like a New Japan. Or even opening it up to all promotions. Obviously, WWE would not be part of it, but New Japan, Impact, you know, the Ring of Honor free agents, because technically there's nobody under contract to Ring of Honor right now, but Ring of Honor talent, Impact talent, New Japan talent, GCW talent, you know, talent from all of these different places, and having some kind of a big supercard type of thing. And I am reminded as I talk about this of the fact that New Japan was supposed to run a show called Wrestle Dynasty. I was talking about Madison Square Garden and WWE struggling to sell tickets there. Wrestle Dynasty in the summer of 2020 was going to be New Japan's very first on their own independent show, not attached to Ring of Honor or anything like that. They were going to invade Madison Square Garden. And then COVID hit and COVID canceled everything. And there was no Wrestle Dynasty. They postponed it to 2021. 2021 came and went, no Wrestle Dynasty. Because, again, COVID restrictions and travel, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And the New Japan product right now, as good as it still is, it just feels very cold. So what if the idea is they're going to run a joint show together, whether it's Wrestle Dynasty or they call it something else, but they're going to run a joint show together. New Japan and AEW are going to try to sell out Madison Square Garden for a big show sometime this year in 2022. It could be something along those lines. Or, like I said, it could be inclusive of all promotions. That's what this kind of feels to me like. But the reality is we just don't know, other than it's not a talent acquisition. It could be some other type of acquisition. We'll have to wait and see. I my interest is peaked. But again, I always joke about these Tony Khan announcements. You know, it's just every week. And this one might actually turn out to be a big deal. But it just feels like, every single week, there's some kind of big surprise or big announcement. It's going to be big. It's going to be major. And, sometimes it isn't. So I just hope whatever it is, it really is big and he can deliver on his words, because the more that you promote and promise these surprises, and if it's not something big, if it doesn't live up to the billing, then you're going to have people who the next time you're promoting some kind of a surprise kind of yawn and go, okay, whatever, He loves his surprises, though. I'll tell you what, when he starts popping out those kids are going to be getting a surprise party every single year. TK loves his surprises. Let's go to the polls. SmackDown poll, 34% thumbs up. Look at Beavis rocking out to that horrible 34% thumbs up for SmackDown. 66% thumbs down. Beavis knows how it is. Shout out to Nier, channel member for 2 months, big friend of the show. I love you back, Nier. Hope you're doing well tonight, brother. But that wasn't the only show tonight. Let's check the AEW Rampage poll, and that's faring a lot better. 81% thumbs up to 18.6% thumbs down. You can head on over to @Solomonster. That is the handle on Twitter, @Solomonster. You can vote in these polls each and every single week. And speaking of Nier joining us here in the chat, and yes, Ufman points out, let's get those likes up. I didn't mention that earlier, but please do hit that thumbs up and like the video. Surely we can hit 300 or 400 here on this stream. We usually will smash that on the archive, but let's see if we could do it live here tonight. Let's see if we can get those likes up. But I had the pleasure last night of venturing over to another channel, that being Don Tony's channel. You can search Don Tony on YouTube and find his official channel. And we did a show together, the first time that he and I have ever done a show together one-on-one. There it is, Solomonster one-on-one with Don Tony. And we talked about the wrestling news of the week. We took questions, and some of you guys joined live and were dropping super chats. So we had a good time. And I want to thank him again for having me on. I'm glad that we were able to do it. Apparently, a lot of people over there were requesting it. He asked me, and I said, let's do it. And I'm glad that we did. It was fun. It looked like pretty much everybody had fun with it. So if you want to watch it, the full video. We were going at it for about 2 hours plus. The entire video is up on his channel. Again, just search Don Tony. And again, thank you to him and all of his fans over there for having me on and inviting me. Yes, we went through the podcast Forbidden Door. The podcast Forbidden Door was knocked down last night. And who knows? Maybe we'll do another one in the future. Go check that out. All right, now we get to the fun stuff. We get to check your super chats. Tony Chimmel back in the day with Edge, the Rated R Superstar. Hey, I saw that Tony Chimmel is working at Trader Joe's now, and he's quite happy, actually, working at Trader Joe's. I've been in Trader Joe's before, and there do seem to be quite a few happy people. Everybody's got a smile on their face. He probably walked in there and said, what is this? Everybody's happy to be at work. They're smiling. They're nice. This is the complete opposite of what I went through in WWE. Now, he worked in WWE for a very long time before they let him go during the pandemic. I'm happy that he's happy. glad to hear that Tony Chimmel is doing. Let's go back all the way to... What a super chat here. From Dick the Cock Johnson. Title unification at WrestleMania basically confirms that if Cody goes back to WWE, he probably is not winning a world title. I wouldn't be so sure about that. He's not winning a world title right away. But I wouldn't be so sure about that. DHV Smoking Trees, does this mean that the WWE title is going to be retired? That's pretty historic then. We know there's no way it's going to be the Universal title. No, I think it could end up being the WWE Championship. You could just be rebranding it as the WWE World Heavyweight title. They've done that before. I don't know that they're going to keep the Universal name. We just don't know. No, they haven't announced it. We just don't know. Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the $4.99, brother. I do appreciate that. Now, Nayef was dropping some love, actually, on the Don Tony stream last night when I was on. Tuxedo T. Servo with the $5. Mick Foley thinks Cesaro will be a world champion outside of WWE. If he signed with AEW, could he get to that level? Or would he be lost in the shuffle? I think it would be a mistake for him to go to AEW right now. I wouldn't... I'll talk more about Cesaro on Sunday, but I think New Japan is the place for him. I think he plays the field and goes to a few different places, but I would love to see him in New Japan. I actually think it would probably work against him, I think, to go to AEW right away. Ultimately, I think he'll end up there, but I don't know that I would go to AEW first. All right. Tuxedo T. Servo, though, thank you for the $5. Michael Darcy with $6. Did you see the report that Vince will wrestle Pat McAfee at WrestleMania? Well, we don't know if he'll actually end up wrestling, but yes, he's going to have a program with Pat McAfee at WrestleMania, and it's going to kick off on Pat McAfee's show on Thursday. And if that reeks of desperation, then there's a reason for that, because it is. Samoan Fan 101, Moose is working through a torn labrum. I did see that. He has worked through worse in the NFL. Actually, I think that's the same injury that Kenny Omega basically wrestled all year as the world champion. So it's not unheard of for wrestlers to work through injuries. Pablo Soto, any chances of the big gold coming back anytime soon? Love the show. Greetings from Peru. Man, we got fans everywhere. We got fans in Saudi Arabia. We got fans in Peru. We got fans in all countries all over the world. But Pablo, no. Big Gold is not going to be coming back. Buffman Entertainment. By Survivor Series, there will be two titles again. Yes, you are probably right. Paul Hamilton. The Portland pop star dropping a hundy spot on me early. I thought the biggest match was yesterday's Salamaster and Don Tony live stream. Well, they didn't say the biggest match ever. They said the biggest match in WrestleMania history. So. There's that scary Beth Phoenix super chat from Paul Heyman. You know that look right there? That's the look from those WWE backstage announcers I was talking about earlier. That just blank, expressionless look on their face with that phony smile. That's exactly what they look like. Rodimus Prime, $20. Being that you have been to WrestleMania already, which one of these would you go to next? The World Series, the Super Bowl, or neither? I would go to the World Series. I would go to a World Series. I've already been to an NLCS game, and it was a very torturous loss. It was a game that the Mets should have won, and of course they fucking blew it. Billy Wagner blew it. That was a very depressing train ride back home. So. But to go to a World Series game, I think, would be a lot of fun. Craving the sweet release of death. Oh, my God. Craving the sweet release of death with the $3 super chat. Longtime listener. First time posting. I think you look like Cody. That's intended to be a compliment, as I think Cody is very handsome. Well, thank you. I thought you were going to call me dashing. Only I don't have the neck tattoo. Should I get a neck tattoo? Should I get like a Cody? That way when I come on the streams every week and I'm reading the super chats and my head is turned, you see the neck tattoo right there? Should I get a neck tattoo? You see that Solomon Monster skull? I can get it right there. What do you think? Think that'd be a good look for me? Ted Evans with the 1992 Royal Rumble Super Chat, the audio-enabled Super Chat. What are your three favorite finishers of all time? Well, maybe four, because you'll probably say Sharpshooter. Sharpshooter is, in fact, on the list. I am actually a big fan of the cross-face chicken wing. It is a genuinely painful maneuver. I have applied it to a friend. I have had it applied to me. And if you really cinch it in tight, it's a very effective finish. So the sharpshooter and the chicken wing are probably my two favorites, I would say. To name more, I don't know. I don't know. I'm a fan. Yeah, the stunner. A lot of that is in how the person sells it, though. You know, stunner. Can't beat a good Stone Cold Stunner. James Auburn, I'm not too sure what you meant by this is the SmackDown Rampage review. But nonetheless, please welcome Madcap. Well played. Well played, my friend. I didn't know where you were going with that, but well played. That was good. That was good. Said, I'm not too sure what you meant by this is the SmackDown Rampage review. But nonetheless, please welcome Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. That's going to be a hard super chat to top. I think James Auburn, that's probably the best one so far. T-Mac, the acoustics and speakers inside the Giant Center is by far the worst of any live event that I have ever been. Marcus Robinson Johnson, with all of these rumors about the WrestleMania card, I'm very happy I decided to buy tickets to Battle of the Belts when AEW comes back to the Dallas area in April instead. Vince against Pat, are you fucking kidding me? I have to assume it's going to be Austin. When all is said and done and push comes to shove, I have to think it's going to be Austin. I have to believe that it's going to be awesome. But you know what? Pat McAfee is very good at what he does. Don't underestimate the ability of Pat McAfee to somehow find a way to get this thing over. That's why I'm very interested to see how this whole segment goes on the show on Thursday. Because Pat is very good. Craving the sweet release of death. Back again. Yet another super chat. Buy or sell. AEW hires you to be fake Cody Rhodes as a signing bonus. They'll even throw in a free neck tattoo for you. Well, I was just saying, I think the neck tattoo could go right there. You read my mind, right? Only mine would look a lot better than his. My skull over here would look a lot better than his. I think. But that's me. I'm being partial. Joseph Brooks, thank you for the $4.99 super chat. Joseph Brooks says, buy, rent, or sell on these dream matches for John Cena. Cena against Hogan. Marcus, let me know if it's fixed. I wanted to change to a different song, so sometimes they overlap. It should be okay now, but let me know. But buy, rent, or sell on these dream matches for John Cena. Cena against Hogan, Cena against Stone Cold, or Cena against The Undertaker when he still had the WrestleMania stream. I assume you meant streak. As far as dream matches go, I mean, you know, Cena and Undertaker when the streak was still a thing. I've said it before, man. They really screwed the pooch on that one. They really, it was a missed opportunity. It's a shame they didn't do it when they had the chance. But Yes, I would go Cena, Undertaker. Cena, Undertaker, I think Cena, Stone Cold, and then Cena Hogan. It's probably the way that I would. James, 1992, with the $9.99 Super Chat. Do a series. You be the booker to your fantasy roster. It'll be the best wrestling commentary ever. You be the booker to your fantasy roster. I'm not sure what you mean as far as how it would work. Dry chicken without flavor sent a $5 super chat in. Thank you to him. Last Wednesday, I was at the AEW show in Bridgeport, Connecticut. My experience at an AEW show for the first time was fun. Tony Khan in person was awesome. Well, that's very cool. Groovy Goose, Vince is going to need a translator for Pat's show. I think he might. Hulk Hogan. Look at this. Hulk Hogan chiming in with the $5 super chat. It feels like WWE is trying to put on their best Sweet Saudi show with the possible clown show in store for WrestleMania. I'm going to just turn the music off here for a second. Yeah, you know, it kind of does in a way feel like they're doing what they can to get as many attractions on the show as possible, and it kind of feels like they're building it up like a Saudi show where they're throwing the most absurd stuff out there. How we go from fucking Logan Paul to Johnny Knoxville to Vince McMahon possibly coming back to the ring, and don't forget possibly the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, by the way, the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin, which I still am having, I'm having doubts about that, whether or not that's actually going to happen. Miguel in the chat says, do I know who Dr. Wanger is? I know Dr. Wagner. Dr. Wanger sounds a little bit different. I don't know a Dr. Wanger. But Dr. Wagner, yes, I am aware of who Dr. Wagner is. At least I assume that's what he meant. Maybe there is a Dr. Wanger. I don't know. But I am not familiar with him. Marquand, 1976, $2 super chat. Xia Li was protecting catering at the Royal Rumble. Maybe she was. Yeah, she was making sure that nobody ate all the cookies, you know. GMC, 1022, $10 super chat. Thank you, GMC. Just came back from seeing SmackDown Live in Hershey. So much more watchable live than with those insane Kevin Dunn jump cuts. Oh, I'll bet. Probably gives you less of a headache, too. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell on the better giant athlete in their primes, Big Show or Andre the Giant? Also, is that a dream match you would have liked to have seen? Yeah, I mean, both of them in their primes, I think that would have been interesting. As far as the better athlete, you know, Andre was very agile when he was younger, but I think I got to go with Big Show. You know, the things that Big Show was doing at his size when he was in his 20s, fucking kip-ups, he was doing missile drop kicks off the top rope. I probably would go with Big Show. KD with the 10 bucks. I may be in the minority here, but I'm not a fan of a trios title. I still say it will not happen because it will diminish the tag titles. In theory, it sounds fine, but in execution, it feels like a mess. I don't think it would be a mess. I mean, if they were to introduce some secondary tag belt, like regular tag belts, I think that would be ridiculous. Trios belts, though, don't bother me. And other promotions have done them. You know, there's a reason why there's a Freebird rule, right? I mean, other promotions for decades have had, they didn't call them trios. Yeah, that's a term that they've adopted from, you know, Mexican wrestling, but I wouldn't mind it. I think AEW has enough factions and they have enough, you know, little alliances and trios that they can make it work. Boots, thank you for the $2. Maybe the chant was her, she's got it. No, the chant was Hershey's chocolate. I assure you. Who was it who just sent that super chat in? GMC. GMC, pop into the chat and let me know. If you heard the Hershey's chocolate chant. Maybe you even started it. I know what I heard. I know what I heard. I know you're kidding, Boots. I know you're kidding. Jamin John is early angry 96-97 Stone Cold the best version of Stone Cold? I think so. I mean, that's Stone Cold, in my opinion, the way Stone Cold was meant to be. Pissed off at the world. Just a fucking mean scowl on his face. Not out there to make friends with anybody. Yeah, I would say so. James, 1992, buy, sell, kill. Three stages of hell, no way out. Austin against Triple H. First elimination chamber. Or the Royal Rumble Intercontinental title ladder match, Chris Jericho against Chris Benoit. Well, I like all of those matches, but since this is my personal buy, sell, or kill, okay, D, that's right. That's a good point. Freebird's rule was only on tag titles because it was for two and they had the three guy. Yeah, that's right. I don't know why I thought it was for three-way belts. But other promotions have had six-man tag belts. It's not like a new concept that Lucha Underground introduced. So that was my point. But you're right. You're right. I misspoke on the Freebird rule. I am going to buy on the Jericho-Benoit match was fantastic. I'm going to have to buy on the Jericho-Benoit ladder match. And I'm going to... See, sell and kill, I mean, this is where it gets kind of dumb. I mean, it's the same thing. So I'll buy on the ladder match for the Intercontinental title. We'll say that. And if I had to pick what I would rank second, I probably would go with the first Elimination Chamber and then Three Stages of Hell I would put last. Casey is Raw. What's going on, Casey? $5 super chat. I recently broke up with my girlfriend. Oh, I'm sorry. My former workplace did not call me at all. That place is the most insensitive company in the world. See, now I don't know if you're just fucking pulling my chain. I'm guessing you didn't break up with anybody. Yeah, I talked about Ric Flair on the podcast on Sunday. Actually, I got into it with Don Tony as well. I talked about it on his channel last night. It's just amazing to me. Of all the people in the world who could call WWE the most insensitive company in the world, and you got to know there are plenty of people who could say that about WWE. For Ric Flair, of all people, as good as he's been treated by that company for the most part over the years, and the things that they've done for him to call WWE insensitive because nobody picked up the phone to call or text him because he broke up with girlfriend number 7 or 8 or whatever it is. I said, he is the epitome of what have you done for me lately? He is a very transactional individual, is my sense of him. And, you know, he'll be your best friend and talk wonderful things about you if you do something for him. And then when you're kind of out of sight, out of mind, all of a sudden you become public enemy number one. He is very much like Superstar Billy Graham. I remember they had Superstar Billy Graham on the payroll. I don't even think he was doing anything. But they had him under contract. Maybe it was some kind of a Legends thing. And they cut him. They were doing cost cutting. This is years ago. And they cut him, and he went on his Facebook page, and he cut this scathing promo in a blog about WWE. And I think he sold his Hall of Fame ring. It's garbage. It doesn't mean anything. And I mean, he went off on them. But him and Flair are a lot alike, where if WWE came calling and they dangled a contract in front of him, he'd sign that shit so fast, your head would spin. You fucking... But that's the way some people are, you know. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha, thank you for the $7. Hey, Solo Monster, the only thing I can assume is WWE likes their first times have Sasha and Naomi be the first black women's tag team champions. I don't know. It's just, you know what it is? Like I said, that was going to be the spot that was going to go to Toni Storm. I'm positive. And because Ronda is getting the shot against Charlotte, they had nothing for Sasha. They have to get Sasha on the show in something. Maybe they cut the Naomi program short because they wanted to put somebody with Sasha just to give her a partner. But But the way they did it, where it just, there was no story explanation, there was no backstage segment or anything to explain it. It's just like, oh yeah, and we're going to go after the women's tag belts. It's like, it's so lazy. It's lazy fucking writing is what it is. The epitome of laziness. DHV Smoking Trees. What's your Mount Rushmore of cartoon cats? What? My Mount Rushmore of cartoon cats? I don't even know if I know more than two cartoon cats. I know Garfield. Tom and Jerry? Wasn't one of them a cat? Was Jerry the cat? I don't remember. Fucking Garfield and I don't know. Odie? Remember Odie? Odie was a dog. No, Odie was Garfield's dog. What am I talking about? I find your question very odious. Well, for me, I guess Garfield stands alone. He stands alone on the Mount Rushmore of cartoon cats. Heathcliff. Yeah, I guess I was never really a big Heathcliff fan, though. Tom. It was Tom, right? It was Tom. We'll put Tom on there, too. Tom was also my first friend on MySpace. Turtlehead 2. So I am to believe that AEW has all of this money to sign guys, possibly Cesaro next, but not Cody. I'm letting it all play out, but I'm not buying it. Well, I'm sure whatever Cesaro commands, it will not be whatever the amount of money that Cody was asking for. I think there was more. It was more than just money. It was more than just money. I talked about the whole Cody situation on the podcast last week. The clip is up on the YouTube channel, by the way. Over 30,000 views on that thing. Go check that out. I lay it all out as far as what I think, you know, resulted in what we've seen with Cody. Because I don't believe it's a work. Maybe I'm being worked. And that's okay. If I get worked, that's okay. I don't know why people are so afraid to get worked in wrestling. You're a fan. You're supposed to get worked. That means they're doing their job. I just don't know what the point of this particular work would be. I think it's kind of fucking pointless, but I don't think it's a work, and I think it's more than just money that was involved in this. Ah, yes, Cam, Sylvester. How can I forget? Sylvester the cat, of course. Sylvester and Tweety. Sylvester and Tweety, Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. I grew up on that stuff. Nier says, prayers for Ukraine. Yes, salute to all of our friends in Ukraine. We have listeners of the show, in fact, who are over in that part of the world. And all I can say is that I hope they're doing well, because it's a very shitty, very scary situation over there. So, yeah, you kind of feel helpless in situations like this. So all the best to everybody over there. Whatever is happening, I haven't checked the last few hours to see what the updates are, but it's not good. Paul Heyman. I just wanted to mention that last Wednesday I enjoyed the Daniel Bryan match. Get it? Yeah, I get it. I get it. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Mordo 887, hypothetical, if you had the opportunity to book one match with beer money against FTR, what promotion, who goes over, and how good would the match be? I don't think it matters what promotion. I think it would be an excellent match. I think it would be an excellent match. I think I would do it in, I don't know, beer money was an Impact Wrestling tag team. I would do it in Impact, back when Impact was, you know, bigger than it is now. Do it in Impact and just, you know, give those guys 25 minutes to go out there and tear the house down. As far as who would go over, FTR. Groovy Goose, send Solo to end this MLB lockout. Yeah, I don't think this lockout's going to be ending for a while, unfortunately. Yipster 16. Hi, Solo. Hope you're doing well. A match I'd like to see in the foreseeable future is Hook against Zack Sabre Jr. Also, what happened to Podbean's format? The Podbean page, solomonster.com, has been updated. And I know some people were curious what happened to the PayPal button. For years, I've been saying the PayPal button on the right-hand side of the page. Well, the PayPal button is gone. However, there is a text link right at the very top of the page that says drop a PayPal donation. So if you click that, I don't know what options it may give you. Just make sure it's a personal, you know, donation. It's obviously not like a company donation. But that's the way to do it from now on. I like the new look. And, I had to get off the old theme. It had to be updated. And it was due. It was due for an update. So I like the way it looks. I think it looks good. I think it's more mobile friendly. I would look at the old site on mobile devices and it would be all blown up and stuff. And check it on your phones. But from what I see, it looks a lot better now, like in Safari and on some mobile devices. So, and yeah, Hook against Zack Sabre Jr. I think would be a lot of fun. 89 Tech with the $3 super chat. What is the difference between Brock's clean sweep in the chamber and Goldberg's of HBK, RKO, and Jericho in SummerSlam 2003? God, I haven't watched that match in years. And I know Goldberg came into the match and dominated and whatnot. That was a full match, as I recall. I don't recall that match ending in 9 minutes or 10 minutes. I know Triple H had his biker shorts on because he had a groin injury. He wore these shorts that looked like they were fucking painted on. He looked ridiculous at that time. But it was a full match. It was a pay-per-view main event where there was a lot of action. And then once Goldberg got in, you know, he was treated like Goldberg until he got hit in the head with a sledgehammer. But in this Elimination Chamber match that we had, I mean, these guys were barely in the ring for a few minutes, right? They weren't worn down or anything. It's not like they had been wrestling for a while and going to war with everybody else in the match. Again, my recollection of the match was, it had length to it. It had gone on for a while. Once Goldberg came in, he started mowing people down. But, you know, there was an actual fucking match going on. That's the biggest difference that I can think of. And I remember that up until the point that Goldberg got hit with the sledgehammer. I remember that being a pretty good chamber match, too. But also, Goldberg didn't win that match. That's another difference between the two. But at least we got an actual fucking match there. Thank you though, 89 Tech. Mr. J 33352. Thank you for the $5. You think Tony Khan has listened to your channel or heard about your channel since I heard he listened to Jim Cornette? I don't know what Tony Khan listens to. I know Tony Khan is always lurking on social media, and I know I know certain people that he has interacted with, but beyond that, I can't say. I know other people who listen to the shows and the channel. Whether or not Tony Khan is among them, I can't say for sure. Cam. What's going on? Cam with the $4.99. Buy or sell CM Punk against Jeff Hardy feud, or CM Punk against The Undertaker? Hell in a Cell in 2009. CM Punk and Jeff Hardy had a pretty good feud, and they had some good matches together. Undertaker and Punk, you know, back in 09, that Hell in a Cell match, I don't remember that being any kind of, you know, exceptional match or anything like that. The Hardy and Punk stuff was really good, so I would have to buy on that. EJ Slemp, which do you think would have been a better feud and a better match? Savage against Austin or Savage against Rock? Well, you know, I think the Savage and Rock promo battles would have been very entertaining. As a match, I kind of lean towards Savage and Austin. But for promos, I think I might lean towards Savage and Rock. Paul Heyman, if Sterling James Keenan starts wrestling on a full-time basis, could you see his Raw commentary gig being a good spot for an Ian Riccaboni? I think Ian should stay far away from WWE. He's too good for them. Matthew Scheffel, do you think they may do the Kevin Owens show with Austin so he doesn't have to move around as much at WrestleMania? So Owens doesn't wrestle a match, but he has an interview segment. That would be kind of a letdown, wouldn't it? But, you know, I could see it. I mean, we had Austin doing a Piper's Pit segment at WrestleMania 21, so it's not like something like that hasn't been done before. I don't know how happy Kevin Owens would be to not have an actual match at WrestleMania. Groovy Goose, if the less successful member of a tag team is the Marty Jannetty, then who should be the namesake of the third wheel of a trios group? Oh, I don't know. There is no third. The Marco Stunt. They would be the Marco Stunt of the team. Ricky Edmond, were you ever looking forward to the CM Punk and Triple H match at WrestleMania 30 if it happened? Not really. No. Dick the Cock Johnson, it won't happen, but I kind of hope Spears turns face along with Wardlow. They're such a fun pairing. Now, I think that pairing should come to an end once the storyline reaches its peak. It's entertaining for now, but long-term, Wardlow needs to go off on his own. Liquid Sheringan, did you see Cesaro's contract ran out silently? No, I had no idea. Hollywood Guy, your top five Intercontinental Champions and your top Mount Rushmore. I'm not doing the Mount Rushmore stuff anymore. I'm so sick of the Mount Rushmore stuff. Top five Intercontinental Champions, though, in no particular order. I think of that title, and I think of Bret Hart. I think of Shawn Michaels. I think of Mr. Perfect. I think of Razor Ramon. Is that four? Bret, Shawn, Perfect, Razor, and I think of Randy Savage. That would probably be my top five. 8-9 Tech, most deserving wrestler to have not won the Royal Rumble. I feel like there have been a few people who probably should have won a Rumble. That I absolutely felt Daniel Bryan should have won it in 2014. He'd be pretty high up there on that list. Probably Rock. Rock did technically win the 2000 Royal Rumble, but I guess it didn't count. For all of his accomplishments, Triple H has won a Rumble, Undertaker's won a Rumble, Austin's won a Rumble, but not Rock. But not Rock. I feel like he should have won one. Officially, he should have won. And, Abhinav with the $2. AEW against New Japan Super Show at Craven Cottage. What are your thoughts? Well, we know Khan wants to run a show in the UK. We know he wants to run Craven Cottage. You put the two together? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, my guess, my thought earlier was Madison Square Garden because New Japan was supposed to run the Garden and they didn't. And I also think AEW, they ran New York a few months ago. They had a lot of success. They sold a lot of tickets in New York. Arthur Ashe, UBS Arena in Long Island, Madison Square Garden would be the next building to conquer. So I think you may be onto something, though. I'm kind of thinking the same thing. Boots, did you watch Shotgun Saturday Night when it was airing? I heard about it as a kid, but I never saw it. I don't think it was available on the West Coast. Yeah, I did. I watched all of the Shotguns. The early ones were the most fun because that's when they were going to different nightclubs and places. I remember the very first episode was at the Mirage nightclub in New York City. And I wish I would have been able to go to those shows. I would have had to have been a little bit older, but I didn't go to any of them, but it was at the Mirage. I love that Roman Reigns. I love how it was Samoan fan who got that Roman Reigns super chat on the screen with the big hoop earrings. They went to the Mirage. They went to, Penn Station. They had the Undertaker wrestling Triple H. Remember the tombstone pile driver on the escalator at Penn Station? The days pre-9/11 when you can do stuff like that. Today, if they tried to do a show in Penn Station, they'd have about five people would get slashed. Somebody would get shot. Somebody would be thrown onto the subway tracks. It's awful. Then they went to Texas. And they did a shotgun from club called, I think it was called Denim and Diamonds, I believe was the name of it. That was the one where Terry Funk went off on, I think he went off on Vince McMahon. Didn't he go off on Vince McMahon or who was he insulting? He called somebody he was using all kinds of like curse words and stuff. There were some wild ass episodes of Shotgun Saturday Night. And then it just turned into a show like any other. And it really wasn't special. Yeah, Webster Hall was another one. That's right. I've been to Webster Hall. They had the pole dancers. Mankind was kind of terrorizing these pole dancers. I think he wrestled Bret Hart, actually. Bret Hart wrestled Mankind. It's the only match I can remember them having was at Webster Hall. You see, that was when they would do fun stuff, and they would take chances and kind of think outside the box with some of that stuff. And Vince would try. He would try stuff like that. It was fun. It was fun. Beowulf, you could email me. You have a photo to send. TheSolomonster@gmail.com. TheSolomonster@gmail.com. You can send it to me there. Cam with the super chat. What is with these Mount Rushmores? My God. I'm not going to do Mount Rushmore, but wrestling managers, Bobby Heenan is going to be at the top of the list. Bobby Heenan, Jim Cornette, and Paul Heyman are the three best managers in wrestling history. Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman, probably in that order. Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman, and Jim Cornette. Three best managers in wrestling history. Samoan fan, Mount Rushmore of Solomonster's ex-girlfriends. No comment. Why would I want to put their faces on a mountain anyway? I don't want to look at them. KD. Now, some of them were very nice. Some of them were very nice. Mount Solomonster. Some people have said that they would like to do so. KD, last night was great. It was a treat for all of us, Don, Tony, and Solo. Solo against Dominic. I tip it to Jason. DDT transition to the Dragon Sleeper. And Ricky Edmond. Mount Rushmore of superheroes. I like Spider-Man. I'm a Spider-Man guy, which is kind of weird to say because I haven't seen the last, like, I don't think I've seen the last Spider-Man movie that I saw. Was Spider-Man 3 with Venom and I think Sandman, right? Sandman was in that one, I believe. I'm talking like the early Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. So everyone's talking about Spider-Man No Way Home, one of the best movies ever. I haven't seen it. I feel like I wouldn't be able to fully appreciate it because you have all the Spider-Mans that make appearances in the movie. And I didn't see Andrew Garfield or any of these other people as Spider-Man. I first have to go back and watch those movies before I could watch No Way Home. Nonetheless, when I used to collect comics as a kid and the Marvel cards, I had the loose leaf binders and all the cards and the plastic and the holograms I would buy from the store and everything. I was big on Spider-Man and, the Avengers. And yeah, I was more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy. But then again, I love Batman. So there you go. I got to show some love to DC as well. I can skip the awful Andrew Garfield movies. Were they bad? Were they bad? Marcus, the Entertainer, Revolution 2021, Exploding Barbed Wire Deathmatch. Sting and Darby against Team Taz in a cinematic match. MJF Jericho against the Bucks. Hangman against Hardy and Sheeta against Rio. Are you just listing the results of the previous Revolution show? I appreciate that. let's see. We got Hitman with Authority. Another great show tonight. Keep it up. Appreciate what you do. Thank you. I appreciate you. Paul Heyman, Mount Rushmore of Mount Rushmores. Fuck. Mount Rushmore. I'm going to plant a stick of dynamite and blow the fucking thing up. Gabriella Valentine, what is your top five Mount Rushmore? Mount Rushmore of early WWF pay-per-views. King of the Ring 93 is my all-time favorite. WrestleMania 8, big fan of WrestleMania 8. Royal Rumble 92, but I mean, come on. Did you even have to ask? Did you even have to ask? Thank you, Gabriella. There's Cody. There's Cody in his golden shovel that he pulled out on Dynamite once. Is that Dynamite? I think that was Dynamite. Marcus says, where are you on The Wire? Believe it or not, I'm on the second to last season. I'm on season 4. And I'm enjoying it. Diamond Devil with the $4.99. How would you feel? There's creepy Jeff Hardy on my screen. Diamond Devil says, how would you feel about Pete Dunne getting called up to SmackDown after they lost Hardy and Cesaro? They need new baby faces and he could go for the Intercontinental. I mean, he's more than ready. So if they have an idea for him, call him up. If they have no plan for him, and it's going to be a Xia Li type situation or a Tony Storm type situation where he gets called up, makes one appearance, and doesn't appear again for 3 months, then fuck it. Keep him where he is. You know, it was Triple H once upon a time who said, we don't want to call people up unless we have a plan for them. Remember Triple H said that on one of those NXT conference calls? We don't want to call anybody up unless we have a plan for them. Now they kicked him to the curb. We know they don't subscribe to that theory. Let's see, Jared M, $20 super chat. Funk called Pritchard's mom a nasty word on that episode of Shotgun Saturday Night 97. He was going off on everybody. Egg sucking, scum sucking, this and that. Terry Funk is great. Terry Funk is fantastic. And I believe with Jared's super chat, I believe we are now all caught up. Holy shit, we're 2.5 hours into the show. We better not waste any more time. We got to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Now, I mentioned on the Dynamite stream on Wednesday, you see those brackets on your screen. Those brackets are going to be filled out with matches. Once I have 8 matches for the men and 8 matches I've chosen at random for the women, and then I'll let you guys vote on which matches should move ahead in the tournament brackets. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We do have Kofi Kingston against Razor Ramon on the men's side so far, and we've got Eve Torres against Stephanie McMahon on the women's side. And I would like to think that we could do a little bit better than that. So, with that being said, let us begin with the men. Let's book a men's match. What is going to be the main event? Is this going to be a main event worthy match? Let's find out. Let's see what's going in the bracket. We end up with the Macho Man, Randy Savage. You can't start any better than that. Ooh, yeah. I like it. I like it. We're off to a great start. Who is the Macho Man going to be stepping into the ring? Find out. Macho Man Randy Savage, one-on-one with Bruce Pritchard. Son of a bitch. As soon as I mentioned his name a few seconds ago, I should have known I was just fucking myself over. God damn it. Macho Man against Bruce Pritchard. Not even Brother Love. We're going by the images themselves. This is podcaster Bruce Pritchard here. What a hell of a match, huh? What a hell of a match. Damn it. Damn it. Well, it's going in the bracket, guys. It's going in the tournament bracket. Let's switch over to the ladies here. See what we end up with here. We have got Gail Kim, who I believe is, she is in the Impact Hall of Fame, isn't she? I think she's an Impact Hall of Famer, former Knockouts champion, WWE Women's Champion. very talented, very beautiful lady is Gail Kim. And she's had some incredible matches in her career. Hey, Steve P, just subscribe. Welcome to Steve P. It will be Gail Kim going one-on-one with Doudrop. Piper Niven, Doudrop, call her what you will. Piper Niven against Gail Kim. I like that match. That's a good match. Both women in their primes. That's a good match. So we did well with the ladies this time, but unfortunately with the men. Hey, look, at least we got the Macho Man, right? We did get Randy Savage in there. That's never a bad thing. So anyway, those are the two matches that will be added to the tournament brackets. And when I'm back with you guys live on Wednesday, we'll pick another one for the men and another one for the women, and we'll have our own little March Madness going on. And eventually, I'll put the brackets together. I'll put them up for you guys to see it, and we'll let the voting begin. You guys will have the power to say what matches are going to move on in the tournament. Just a little fun thing we do here on the channel. 8-9 Tech has another super chat here before we head out. Buy or sell. I have to add Bert Hurt to the men's side. Bert Hurt is not an actual wrestler. Buy or sell, what was in the suitcase Vince brought in Snuka's allegations by the police, or the truth about Stephanie and Savage rumors? I just answered this question on the on Don Tony's show last night. We actually had the same answer. I beat him to the punch. Somebody said if you could ask Vince McMahon one question, if he was injected with truth serum and he had no choice but to tell the truth, what question would you ask him? I'm not going to ask him a question about some stupid wrestling storyline. Who gives a shit? I would ask him what was in the briefcase. In Jimmy Snuka's book, he said that he saw Vince McMahon walk with a briefcase into the police station in Allentown and go, and they closed the door. And then he came out, and of course, charges were never pressed. And I want to know what was in the briefcase. I have a sense I know what was in that briefcase, but I'd want to hear him say it in his own words. The Stephanie and Savage stuff is urban legend. It's bullshit. I don't believe it. I don't buy into it. Solo Monster should hit Booker Machine if there's another bad pick. Well, that would be cheating. You pick what you pick. You can't pick it and go, I don't like that, I'm going to pick again. You know, you can't do that. That's cheating the system. We gotta be by the book. See what I did there? By the book? By the booker? We got to do it by the book. Red Emissary of Darkness, thank you for the $2. Buy or sell questions or Mount Rushmores? Can we sell on both? After tonight, I'd like to sell on both. But definitely sell on the Mount Rushmore. I am Mount Rushmore'd to death. I am Mount Rushmore'd to death. Has anybody in the chat actually been to Mount Rushmore? Has anybody been to South Dakota, right? I've never actually seen Mount Rushmore. I feel like if I was there in person and I looked up at it, it would be one of those great marvels. I would be amazed at what I'm seeing. But I've never actually been to Mount Rushmore before. Who from Ozark is my least favorite character? Probably the son. Yeah, probably the son. His name escapes me. Jonah. Jonah. Jonah is probably the most annoying, but if not Jonah, then I would go with Wendy. I would go with the wife. Groovy Goose, thank you. Tuxedo says, I was at Mount Rushmore, but I couldn't get close due to renovations. Well, that sucks. When I was in Costa Rica, I was pretty close to an active volcano. They only let you get so close, but I was fairly close to an active volcano, so that was kind of exciting. Ricky Edmond. Mount Rushmore of horror icons? I know this Rushmore is annoying, but please answer this since a lot of people are asking you Mount Rushmore questions. Horror icons. You got to go Michael Myers. You got to go Jason Voorhees. I guess you would have to probably put Freddy Krueger. I'm not really a big Freddy guy, to be honest with you, though. I would probably go Mike, in no order. I would go Michael, Jason. He's got a cool name. Michael, Jason. I might actually go Ghostface. Leatherface, maybe. Maybe. Maybe Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw. But definitely Michael and Jason for sure, without a doubt. Okay, good. I think we're all caught up. I think we're all caught up on your questions. You guys came out with them in full force, so I thank you for the support. All of the super chats, it is very much appreciated. Again, channel memberships are open. Probably going to do another call-in show, Better Call Saul Monster. I'm thinking maybe this upcoming Thursday, possibly. If that changes, I'll let you guys know. But again, that's one of those channel perks you get if you're regardless of what tier you're on. Episode 13, the lost episodes, the ad-free lost episodes are up for Legends tier members. You got the first 13 episodes ever of the podcast. Episode 14 coming soon. The very first edition of SE Scoops Live, the first call-in show that we ever did back in 2008. First episode is up right now. We did 34 of those episodes. So the first one is up. We got 33 more to come. But I didn't realize how cumbersome it is to get some of the music out of there because YouTube will go crazy if I keep some of the music in there. So I have to edit some of that out. Turtlehead, proud of you for nearly four Wire seasons watched. Well, we're not done yet. We got one more left, but I've enjoyed it. Tuxedo, have a good night. And everybody else as well, have a good night. I'm going to see you guys on Sunday for episode 745. I will be talking about Cesaro. Cesaro, in fact, will be the top story on the show this weekend. And we'll talk about Tony Khan's big announcement. We'll talk about Raw, NXT, your questions, a whole bunch of stuff. That'll be coming up on Sunday and live with you again on Wednesday, the first Dynamite for the month of March. And more Be the Booker. Always fun to hang out with you guys. Thank you again. Again, don't forget to check out the show I did with Don Tony over on his channel. It's up in the archives. From last night. And until then, be well, stay safe, especially those friends of ours over in Ukraine. Very scary over there right now, so please be safe if you can. And I will see you guys back here for more Sound Off very soon. Until then, take care, guys.